All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out and a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And we got a lot of really fun topics that we're going to get to this morning, this Tuesday morning. We have someone producing this morning who is new to the show. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Hello, everyone. I'm Vivian Ledoux, one of the new producers here.
And Vivian will be producing for the rest of the week with
us. Yes, we are. Yes.
But she's never produced my show before. So we're not doing any of the the Two for Tuesdays or the Wild Card Wednesdays or any of that stuff leading up to Friday, which we will do some of the regular features on Friday. But welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking it easy on me.
So how long now? The last time you were here, you were sort of shadowing Ben.
Yeah.
As he was producing. So how long have you been working here now?
About a week.
It's a week. Okay. And so where now? You told us all that you're Greek.
Yeah.
Where are you originally? Are you from Chicago?
I was born in Chicago, but I lived in Greece for 8 years.
For 8 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I moved here when I was 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Greek was my first language.
Yeah.
And then English. So.
And then, yeah.
You might hear a little bit of an accent.
Yeah. Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a little. And then moved, right? Have you lived anywhere else in the United States or just here?
No, just here. Chicago
just
and
Chicago.
Greece.
Chicago and Greece.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting. And we've talked off the air that you and Andrea probably got along very well.
Oh, my God. All the Greeks.
Yeah.
I just met Dean Richards the other day,
oh,
too.
Oh, sure.
I was like, oh, hey, Tikanis.
Yeah. Dino. Good old Dino.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, welcome to the show. We'll have fun this week.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
So she's producing this morning on 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We're going to be talking about some situations that happen to everyone, but nobody talks about them. I'll give you a quick example. Let's say you go down to the basement. And then you turn the lights off and then immediately run up the stairs so you don't get killed by someone who's in the basement. So that's like a situation that people, they don't talk about it, but people do it. And we've got a whole bunch of these things that that people don't really talk about. We also have some movie casting decisions that made fans angry, but then they turned out to be really great casting decisions. And we also have some really fun products to get to that will help you to stop saying things like, this is why we can't have nice things. You can have nice things, and I can tell you how you can keep these things nice with some really fun products. Blackhawks played last night, so as always, right before the end of the show in the morning, we play the Blackhawks Express back. They did get 1 point. They lost in overtime, but they did get a point. They could have used two, but they did get a point, and we will play that back a little bit later on. So that's what's happening on the show. Again, if you want to jump in here at any time, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Vivian is in the producer's room, and in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Very well.
Yeah? All right.
I'm very well.
Right.
I'm very happy to be here, man.
Have you ever gone down to the basement and then
you know what I was thinking of
turn
when you
the
said
light
that.
Off and then bolt up the stairs? In
sure,
case you're,
yeah. I have. I'll admit it.
Yeah, these are I've a whole bunch of these situations.
But
that people,
mainly after, like, if I've okay, when I used to We'll go into it later, but yeah, we'll go into it later. Okay. I've got a couple of those things. Yeah.
Was this especially apparent when you were, was this something that you would do regularly when you were reading Pet Sematary?
No, it's something, there's something funny that came to my mind. It was when I was stationed overseas in Okinawa. It's an island south of Japan.
Yeah.
And I used to have to go out in the middle of the night and do some things with my job in the Air Force, and I was by myself, and I used to go and do that after watching, in my barracks room, watching Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, no!
Like an idiot. It would freak me out. I'd hear things in the trees and the bushes, and I'd flash my pickup lights at it.
Yeah. You know what's really funny is that our good friend Esmeralda Leon,
Esmeralda,
she can't. Yeah, I miss her too. She can't listen to the theme song to that show because it freaks her out so much.
Yep.
Like she can't even like just the theme song. You know, and then Robert Stack. You know, forget about it, man.
Right.
You can't look at Robert Stack and not be completely freaked out, especially accompanied by that fantastic theme song.
Right, right.
But yeah, it used to freak her out. And I remember we were talking about it one morning, and then. My old producer Dan found the theme online and played it, and Esmeralda just like, turn it off. She was like, just turn it off. I can't take it. Vivian, have you ever seen Unsolved Mysteries?
I have not.
Oh, man.
No. What am I missing?
You're missing, it's these true stories, right, Victor, based on reality.
Yeah, all solved now.
All
that's good to know.
But at the time of the airing, they were not solved, and they were usually pretty scary, and there was like a criminal on the loose, or somebody got strangled, or whatever, and the host was Robert Stack, who used to be on a show called The Untouchables many, many, many years ago. Have you seen the movie Airplane?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I feel like I'm so unprepared. So unprepared right now.
Oh, you got to see Airplane. It's legendary. It's one of the funniest movies ever made. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely.
No, you got to see Airplane. Yeah, I guarantee you will laugh your butt off.
It's really
great. But anyway, Robert Stack is in that movie, by the way. That's why I bring it up. But anyway, so he was the host and the narrator, and they would recreate these sort of like murder mysteries, right, Vic?
Yeah, a lot of them would be like that. I think like a more contemporary show might be something like Forensic Files, only it deals more with the science of crime fighting, but similar.
Similar to that kind of stuff. It was, you know, it was like real life murder mysteries or real life crimes that weren't solved. And Esmeralda was a kid when the show was on. Esmeralda used to do traffic on the show here.
Right.
And she was a kid when that show was on in syndication, and she'd watch it and completely freak out, like completely and absolutely freak out. And so, you know, and like it's tattooed in her brain, like, you know, like the theme song of the show is tattooed in her brain. And we played it, and she just completely freaked out. She was like, "No, turn it off. I can't."
That's so mean.
Well, we didn't know she was going to freak out completely. We were just like, "Oh, you remember this?" So, but anyway, but so that's what you, so Vic, you'd go out in the dark and
I had to, at the time, I was just in the Air Force, I had only been in for a few years, and I used to have to go out and collect aviation fuel samples, and they were in these underground tanks, and they were riddled, a lot of the tanks were on the Air Force base, but some of them were off, and you had to drive out and go into these areas of Okinawa that were, you know, off the beaten path, and some of them were dirt roads at night. Overnight, I was on the overnight shift in the fuels lab, and I would have to go and get these samples by myself. You know, I would have the pickup truck lights on, pointing at the access point of the below ground tank, and I would be out there lowering this jar down into this million-gallon tank, and I'm looking around my shoulder, you know, hearing things.
Sure.
Unsolved Mysteries.
Absolutely. And then you just expect Robert Stack to come walking out at some point. And start narrating what you're doing.
Right. But I've definitely done things like ran out of the basement after turning the lights off, you know, when I was younger and things like that.
Oh, no.
I still, to this day, when I sleep, I still lock my bedroom door, even though it's just Jeannie out in the living room.
You do?
So no one will sneak in and freak me out. Yeah, I do that still.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty interesting.
Maybe we'll get some good text from, see what the listeners do.
Yeah. Yeah. The listeners have these. But these are actually really funny situations that we have to fully admit that we do. That's, you know, we have to. Because everybody does it. I've done it. I've run up from the basement, turning the lights off, and ran like hell in case, you know, the demon behind me didn't suck my soul out, you know.
I've done that, too.
Yeah. I think everybody's done that. And these are the kind of situations we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show. And again, if you want to join us at any time, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back... somebody wrote a piece on BuzzFeed from a couple of years ago. Adam Todd Brown wrote this piece, and the title of the piece is Six Supposedly Fun Activities But Nobody Actually Likes Them. So these are things that everybody says are fun. They're supposed to be fun, but in reality, nobody likes them. Or at least he doesn't like them, but he's speaking for everybody. So these are six supposedly fun activities that nobody likes, nobody enjoys. And this is actually a pretty funny article. And I'm wondering if there are things out there that everybody seems to like that you don't like. 312-981-7200. What are some things that everybody seems to like, but you don't like? You just don't get it. You don't like. You don't have fun doing it. You don't
going
like
to the
it.
Beach.
Going to the beach. I hate going to the beach, too. I hate it. I hate it. I'm assuming, Vivian, you enjoy going to the beach because you lived in Greece.
Come
so
on. It's fun. You get nice color.
Yeah. I'm not a sun guy. Not a sun guy. I don't like sand.
I'm not a really big fan of sand either. So.
Not a real strong swimmer. So all of that stuff just kind of doesn't work for me.
See why beach day may not be fun then. Let's throw Nick in the water again.
Yes, throw Nick in the water and watch him drown. And then for an hour and a half, try to get rid of all the sand that's in your clothing that somehow doesn't go away. Where does it all come from? But anyway, that's one of the things, like going to the beach. That's a good one. That's a good one, Vic, because a lot of people love going to the beach, and then there's the opposite of that. And so you can talk or text us right now with your things that everybody else seems to love that you don't like, and then I have some fun activities that nobody really likes that we'll talk about. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Get in here right now on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Vivian rocking out to some Scorpions.
I thought you'd like that.
I do. I love Scorpions. Right. Absolutely. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And it's Tuesday. We're not doing Two for Tuesday or any of that stuff. We are here till 5. And we're talking about what are some things that everybody else seems to love that you don't? So maybe you're in the minority and everybody else loves it, or activities, or just things in general that everybody around you seems to really love and you just don't get it and you just don't like it. Adam Todd Brown at Cracked.com, I misspoke before, it wasn't BuzzFeed, it was Cracked, wrote a piece called Six Supposedly Fun Activities That Nobody Actually Enjoys Doing. So we're going to chat about that and talk about things that everybody else seems to like but you don't. Talk or text right now at 312-981-7200. Here's what he writes. It's a cold and lonely world we live in that holds even truer if you live somewhere that actually gets cold during the winter months when ice, snow, and freezing temperatures lead to massive downturn in time spent in the company of others. Your friend's garbage might fly when the sun is out and the skies are clear, but driving through life-threatening road conditions to deal with his tomfoolery is out of the question. These are things that you can. Here's what he says. Finally, though, the cold weather is starting to subside, and people are looking for any and every excuse that they can. With these friends, will gather to partake in our unspeakably stupid and boring things. But hey, at least it's not snowing. These are some of the things that people do. There are activities that do that this guy does not enjoy, that he thinks no one enjoys. And so here's one that we had a couple of just a few days ago. Number six on his list of supposedly fun activities that nobody actually enjoys are parades, which I totally agree with. I don't understand parades at all. It says, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying parades are exclusively a warm weather activity, but I'm saying, though, is screw the parade. Maybe the St. Patrick's Day parade is a good time, but I suspect that's only because people are too hammered to realize how terribly boring it is to watch grown men walk around in skirts while cops and firemen goose-step down Fifth Avenue. That's just one example. There are countless cities and towns throughout the Great Land that use the return of warm weather as an excuse to put on a parade. I put that word in quotes because this is usually amounts to watching pimply-faced band geeks from your high school drum and fife corps slaughter whatever 20-year-old pop tune their teacher had stuck in their head for the start of the semester, or even worse, you get a bunch of conceited jerks mistakenly believing that they're so important that people are lining the streets to catch a glimpse of them waving from the backseat of convertible. If you're stuck in traffic behind someone driving 3 miles per hour and waving at someone on the sidewalk, you'd be on your smartphone Googling the legal ramifications of smashing that person's rear window out with a tire iron. Jeez, this guy's a little angry. My God. Now watching someone drive at the speed of a snail and listening to crappy marching band music merits fighting your way through a crowd just to get a nice spot to stand on dirty concrete and bake in the scorching hot sun? No, you still hate it. So parades are the first thing he goes after here. Okay, another thing that everybody says they enjoy, but they don't, movies in the park. Now, I got to say, I enjoy movies in the park. That's something that I have to say that I do enjoy. I enjoy movies in general, but my ex and I used to go to movies in the park every Tuesday during the summer when they would do it at Grand Park. Didn't even matter what the movie was. And we saw some great movies out there. People love the word free. The promise of enjoying something free of charge that you normally have to pay for is a surefire way to get people to leave their homes. After years of searching, that is all I can come up with to explain the appeal of movies in the park. If you don't know what I'm talking about, scan your local newspaper events section. Without fail, you'll see that some local organization is hosting a series of movies in the park. They're exactly what they sound like. People gather in a park, sit on the dirty and inevitably wet ground, and watch a 5-year-old movie with the lowest definition screen that you can possibly buy, that money can possibly buy. This guy is really angry. It should go without saying that any standard rules of movie-going behavior fly right out the window when you're watching that movie in the great outdoors. If you talk in a movie theater, you're a pariah, but that dynamic is reversed when you're watching a free movie in the park. You can even hear a movie above the chaotic din of a park full of people yammering about their pointless concerns. So there you go. He hates movie in the park because people are talking and hanging out. And he does describe it in a rather, unfair way. Vic, you ever go to movies in the park?
Man, I was trying to think. I think I did once. It wasn't in Chicago, but I don't think I enjoyed it much.
No?
Kind of for the same reasons.
For the same reasons, because there's too much stuff going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Vivian? Did you ever go to movies in the park?
No.
Never?
Never.
We used to go to Grant Park. Now, I will say this. Sometimes it depends on the park. And
that's
I
was going
to
say.
It seems weird to say that, but I think it really does depend on the park. Because on Tuesday nights in Grant Park, most of the time, it was very quiet during the movie. People were very respectful of it. But if you go to a Chicago, public park, for what they're talking about, because at movies in the park, the official, Chicago movie in the park at Grant Park, they actually had film, projector, and screen.
And do people just sit on the ground?
You bring blankets or lawn chairs and stuff like
that.
See,
that was the part that I didn't like, was sitting on the ground. But, if you go to Maggie Daly Park, the Pritzker Pavilion, you've got nice seating and huge screen.
Right.
I've watched a couple there and had a really good time.
Yeah, no, that's...
But there's also people sitting on the grass as well.
In the back.
They bring blankets. And,
right. But I will say this, though. But, if you go to, your local park, I live near Independence Park. It's not very far from my apartment. And so... I ventured out to see Toy Story 3 because I love that movie. And so I walked down to the park and I got in there, and that was not pleasant, because the people at Independence Park were behaving much differently than the people at Grant Park on those Tuesday nights. And it was a lot of the same people would go on those Tuesday nights because people really loved it, and they usually had a really great lineup. But when you go to the movies in the park that are, just the Chicago Park District movies in the park, they're usually what this guy says. They're usually shown on DVD, low resolution. There's usually kids running around. There's a lot of people talking, moving around. It's very distracting. And also, like, you know, the street noise is also distracting. Like, you can hear cars driving and honking and things like that. So, yeah, I guess I can kind of understand it. But overall, I enjoy going to movies in the park. Yeah. So, and then he goes on to say that what we were just talking about, people talking is still only a mild irritant compared to the throngs of children that irresponsible parents will allow to run roughshod over every inch of the park. It's not enough that these children have destroyed their parents' dreams. This guy is funny, but now they've been dispatched to ruin your night out as well, and they will stop at nothing to do it. Look, I get that going to an actual theater is quite possibly the most fiscally irresponsible decision a person can make. That's what Netflix and the internet are for. Also, you don't have to worry about mosquitoes and ants and garbage and stuff like that. So, he just doesn't like movies in the park. All right, we got more. And the other topic here that we're talking about is what things does it seem like everybody else really, really likes and you don't? You're in the minority on it. Everybody seems to enjoy these things in every category, any category. What are things that people really love that you don't? And we'll finish up with Adam Todd Brown's list of fun activities that nobody enjoys right after we break here for the news, which is up next right here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. Happy Tuesday, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and if you want to join us, we are talking about things that everybody else seems to really like that you don't, things that everybody else really likes that maybe you hate. And we're reading this really funny article that... Adam Todd Brown wrote for Cracked.com, where he really goes off on six supposedly fun activities that nobody actually enjoys. So far, he talks about parades. He talked about movies in the park. And and now he moves on. So if you want to, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. How about this? Vic, you ever been on a wave runner?
Jet ski?
Yeah. Jet ski, wave runner.
That's on the list?
Yeah. You want to hear?
I'm a little surprised by that one. Go ahead.
You want to hear his explanation? Well, this guy sounds just really angry all the time.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's like it's like if Sam Kinison came back and wrote an article, that's what this would be. I know it seems like I'm coming out of left field with this one. Wave runners are like baby speedboats. What could possibly be a problem with that? I guess the answer would be nothing, provided you put absolutely no value on how enjoyable your weekends are. Granted, if you've never been on a wave runner, it probably looks like the best time a person could have until we finally get our jetpacks. But shell out the absurd amount of money required to purchase one, and then tell me how you feel about that investment.
Good point there.
Yeah.
If you don't own one, it's pricey to rent them.
It is, yeah. Think about it for a second. A wave runner is basically a boat stripped of the following things: room for friends, room for booze, and the ability to tow stuff, or any hope of looking cool. Yeah, I said it. Nobody looks cool on a wave runner. You might think you do, but you really look like a man in the middle of a midlife crisis. It's not because wave runners look awesome. It's because the only people who enjoy them are testosterone-riddled tools who think having a floating rascal scooter between their legs and a pair of Oakleys around their face will help them score with the ladies. and I've never been on one of those. You ever been on a wave? You ever been on a wave runner?
No, I have not. No.
And Vic, you have.
I think you're right. He's just pissed off at everything.
I think he is. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's very amusing.
Yeah.
The guy's just got, you know, the guy ought to try decaf. I'm thinking. Right. You know. But it's funny though. The guy's funny. And he also, what's really funny is you can see the visuals here because he includes some pictures, and he's got a picture of, you ever see the show, you guys ever see the show Eastbound and Down with Danny McBride?
Yeah.
On HBO? All right, so you know that really obnoxious Kenny Powers character he plays on the show? Well, he put a picture of Kenny Powers posing on a garaged Wave Runner. So that's like one of the that's the picture that he uses as an example as to why people who like the Wave Runners are idiots, because Danny McBride character from Eastbound and Down likes one.
I see.
All right, next on his list is he continues to be Angry Man Johnson, working outdoors. He hates working outdoors. This guy just doesn't like going outside, is what I'm hearing. This was a last-second addition to this list, and it's all because I'm as guilty as anyone of mistakenly believing that working outdoors is an activity I will someday learn to enjoy. In fact, I wrote the first half of this column while I was sitting on the back deck of my apartment. And why? Because today was the first day of actual nice weather I've seen in months. So for a couple of hours, I pretended that sitting outdoors was conducive to staring at a computer screen. For the record, this is what a computer screen looked like the entire time. He takes a picture with his phone and of his computer screen, and there's like sun. You can't really see the computer screen because it's so bright outside. You know, you ever work outside and you can't see the phone? Well, he takes a picture of the computer screen, and you can see him in reverse in the screen, you know, in the reflection on the screen. And he's wearing a Motorhead t-shirt. So I already like this guy. So I like this guy. So he took some picture that said, "The outdoors are riddled with bugs, which ideally your office is not. Nothing breaks the creative thought process like having a wasp land on your keyboard. That's a great way to go from zero to panic in under 2 seconds. You got wind, you got rain, you got all kinds of other stuff that you have to deal with. And if you're looking for one of those really ambitious people who thinks packing up all your electronics and heading to a park or a beach to get some work done is a good idea, I have two words for you to consider. Bathroom break." You're gonna have to take one at some point. Do you pack up all your stuff and haul it with you to the restroom, or do you leave it there and hope that everyone in your vicinity works on the honor system and won't steal your stuff while you go to the bathroom? The answer, of course, is neither, because both options suck. Instead, get your work done indoors and then use your time outside as it's meant to be used, specifically to enjoy the fact that you're not working.
Oh my goodness, wow.
He makes a good point, though. You know, you bring all that stuff out there, and then what happens when you have to go to the can?
That's true.
It's true. Now, I feel that way, you know, when I used to, because I don't frequent coffee shops anymore, because I don't drink coffee anymore. But I used to do a lot of my writing in coffee shops. And that's another thing, you know, like you drink a bunch of coffee, and you're going to eventually have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
This was like pre like laptops and stuff. So we're talking early 90s. So I would write I've written a lot of plays. And so I would write a lot of some of this stuff like longhand. But I would have like a folder, and I'd have a binder and all kinds of stuff. And I'd always have to pick it up and take it into the can with me.
That's right.
So I don't want anybody to take it, you know, not like it means anything to them. It's valuable to them, like some stupid scribbling that I wrote. But I don't want, you know, it's my work, and I don't want anybody to take it. If I wrote 20 pages that day, I certainly don't want to have to start all over again if somebody steals it. So, yeah, you take all that stuff and go to the bathroom. Okay, we've got some other stuff here from people. What do you not enjoy that everybody else seems to enjoy? Horseback riding. 773 already says horseback riding. I love horseback riding. As you know, Vic... Vivian, you don't know this, but I was trained in the equestrian arts when I was a kid.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Had the crop, had the hat, the outfit, did jumped
wow.
horses and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
That is awesome. I love horses.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
They're just the best, man.
Yeah,
I'll tell you though.
Sure.
I'll tell you something right now though. When you are, there's really nothing that is kind of equal to being on the back of a horse as it's in like as it's going. Gangbusters, like the force that you feel while you're on top of that horse, and he's going full on. It's a full on big ass gallop. It's exhilarating. Like it's exhilarating.
Did you ever fall?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, many times.
That must be tough.
Yeah, I got bucked a couple of times by horses. Oh, yeah. Now, yeah. But I love it. I do want to mention this. This person who wrote from 773 area code. And by the way, we want to hear from you. What things does it seems like everybody else loves but you don't? 312-981-7200. It could be any category. Anything that everybody likes that you don't. 312-981-7200. I'm assuming that this person is talking about the horseback riding that you go on, like at a campground or someplace else, where it's just you on a horse and the horse's nose is like buried in the butt of the horse in front of it, and you're just going bleh, 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 down a trail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not horseback riding. That's not horseback riding. That's crap. That's not representative of what real horseback riding is. If you're in one, you know, you pay like, I don't know how much you pay, like $10 or whatever. Get on the horse, and then the horses are just like, oh, God. You know, they're not.
And they also have them here in the city, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can go horseback riding, but I'm assuming that the 773 area code who texted this in is talking about the horseback riding that's really not horseback riding. Horseback riding I'm talking about is when you're actually riding a horse for real. Not following another horse going, you know, clumpy, clumpy, clump down some stupid trail, being led by someone who doesn't like their job and maybe doesn't even like horses. 872 area code says, I hate the video games Overwatch and Fortnite. Not sure why people obsess over those games. I've heard Fortnite's a big deal. I don't play video games. I'm not a gamer at all. Never have been. I'm still. You know, for me, Galaga is state of the art. That's the kind of game I like. Is I'm still master of Galaga. I haven't moved on beyond that. But yeah. So I don't know what these Overwatch and Fortnite. I don't play any of these games. So. All right, next on this guy's list of pissed off man Johnson here is visiting national monuments. He's going to go off on national monuments now. This guy. Family vacation. Who doesn't look forward to that every year? The kids are out of school, the parents are off work, and everyone is hopping into the car and going to do something rad. It's important to choose your family vacation destinations wisely. If you have children, go to an amusement park. If you have no children, sit on as many patios as you can while power drinking. But under no circumstances ever should you blow a family vacation on visiting a national monument. This guy is killing me. I certainly understand the allure of driving hundreds or even thousands of miles to see the Grand Canyon in person. Actually, I'm joking. I don't get the appeal of it at all. I've never seen it, but I expect it looks a lot like this. And then he has a picture of the Grand Canyon in the article.
Jeez.
And then it says, when you're referring to something that you can look at easily in pictures, it's less titillating. Here's another good example. This is around Mount Rushmore. You probably know it from pictures, and it looks like this, and there's a picture of Mount Rushmore. And then next he says, but as someone who has seen it, I can vouch for the fact that in person it looks a lot like this. And he shows it, the same picture of Mount Rushmore.
He doesn't think it looks a little different if you're standing in front of the vast expansion of the Grand Canyon? No? Okay.
Well, he's never been to the Grand Canyon.
Obviously.
Right. Those were the exact same picture, but that's because that's exactly what Mount Rushmore looks like in person. So what is it that you think you're going to do when your Wally World-like trek to see four presidents' faces carved in the side of a huge rock comes to fruition? It's not like you can climb up there and take a picture by pretending to put something in Lincoln's nose or anything. So he doesn't like national monuments. But number one on his list, I absolutely have to agree with him on this one. And the 773 area code also sent in a text about this one. His number one a thing that everybody that says they like but they actually don't, fireworks. I totally agree. I totally agree with that. This is a very limited window of time to see fireworks display that's even remotely interesting. That window spans approximately from the moment you first learn that fireworks are a real thing to the moment that you finally finished watching your first fireworks display. Beyond that, you're literally just watching the same thing over and over again and somehow expecting to be entertained by it each time. But fireworks aren't Arrested Development. He pulls out Arrested Development. There aren't going to be any extra layers of jokes or anything interesting worked into the minute details. It's just colors in the sky and loud noises.
I agree with him on that.
I totally do, too.
I think he nailed it on that.
Yeah, I totally do, too. I still think he needs decaf.
Yes.
Before we break, here's Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How are you doing tonight?
All right. What do you not enjoy that everybody else seems to enjoy?
Camping.
I'm with you.
It should be, nature should be enjoyed from behind the locked windows of a climate-controlled RV.
Well, Rich, I got to tell you, I agree with you, because for me, we used to go camping when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we'd go camping, and I thought it was okay. But then as I grew older, I just kept getting more, like, I just get annoyed with the outdoors, you know, Rich? I mean, for me, roughing it is being in a hotel room with low air conditioning. That's roughing it for me.
That's my idea too. Yeah. Plus, after 25 years of being in the Army and sleeping on the ground and stuff like that, you know.
Well, and, Vic, do you enjoy camping after you spend some time with the armed forces?
I was in the Air Force.
Oh, you were in the Air Force. Okay.
He knows what I'm talking about.
You're yeah, calling though.
We were in hotels usually when they were camping.
Yeah. Now, ask Vic this though. Now, back to your stuff about going to the beach and sand. Yeah. Do you have any of your old gear from your time in the Air Force, Rick?
I sold it all, actually. So, yeah, I've since sold it. I kind of regret that.
Yeah, I've still got my old duffel bag and what they call the Alice pack, you know, the backpack with all your gear and stuff. And after being out of the Army for 18 years, I can still tip it over and find sand in it.
That's outstanding.
I think that's where the sand comes from on the beaches.
Yeah.
You know, it's reproduced in guys' military gear, and they just go there and dump it out.
They just dump it out all over the place, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Rich, thanks for the call, man.
Yep. Hey, have a good evening.
Good old trucker Rich, man.
Always a good call.
Always good. Okay, we got a break here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Get your text in. Call in 312-981-7200. What does everybody else like and you don't? 312-981-7200. More after this. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up at 5 is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and coming up, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Vic Vaughn. We have been talking about things that everybody else seems to like, but you don't. Here's Heidi on WGN. Hi, Heidi.
Hi. So I'm sorry. This is so anti-Chicago, but I just cannot stand going to Ravinia.
You can't go to. I'm sorry. To do what?
Go to Ravinia.
Oh, go to Ravinia. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, they just announced their season, so you must not be very excited.
No, I don't get it. I think it's a pain in the neck to get there. People are going crazy, bringing chandeliers and tables, and then the music is okay to listen to. I don't think it's the greatest place to listen to music.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, like that's a whole, you know, that kind of fits into the category that the gentleman wrote about, being outdoors and, you know, and stuff like that. The only way that I go to Ravinia is if I actually have seats in the pavilion. I will not sit out on the lawn. I'm not going to pack a picnic, you know, and sit out on the lawn. If I want to go to Ravinia, I actually want to see the acts. So if I go to Ravinia, which I like Ravinia, as long as I'm in the pavilion, and they've got a good lineup this year. But Heidi, I understand I totally understand. I dislike sitting on the lawn at Ravinia for the very several reasons that were named in that article. Heidi, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 312-981-7200. All right, we got some more texts here. 815 area code. Karen says, go into the movies. I can't just sit and watch a movie. I need to be doing something like laundry or dishes. And I like to pause the movie for bathroom and food breaks. All right. 312 area code says, parades should be outlawed. Okay. Glenn in Evanston says, everyone I know loves watching Star Trek and The Matrix, but I hate them. Marco on the southeast side says, I hate Friends, I hate NCIS, I hate actress Hathaway. I'm assuming that's Anne Hathaway. And then Boardwalk. Would that be Boardwalk Empire? Or just the street on the Monopoly table? Is that? I love the actress Hathaway. I love the way that he refers to her. 773 area code says soccer games. He hates soccer games. 708 area code says something everyone loves except me, concerts. I dislike crowds. Generally, the tickets are too expensive and the parking is a hassle. 708 area code says everyone loves Starbucks, but I'm a DD girl, Dunkin' Donuts. When I was a coffee drinker, I enjoyed Dunkin' Donuts. I don't drink coffee anymore, but they have good. Are you a coffee drinker?
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
Do you go to Starbucks?
Starbucks.
Yeah.
Because they have almond milk. They've got coconut milk. You know, right now I'm fasting from dairy and meat for Lent.
Oh, so dairy and meat?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, God.
I know.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, it would be tough. One or the other would be tough.
They're both tough.
No, I mean, yeah. Are you kidding? At the same time?
At the same time.
Oh,
yeah.
God. 708 area code says, everyone loves to eat out at outdoor cafes, but I hate bugs, I hate heat, and I hate sun in my eyes. I'll be inside with the AC, thank you. I think we're all here. I think we've got a theme that's going here.
Hate.
Yeah, but we hate the outdoors is basically that's been the common thread. See, in 847 area code says cauliflower, especially in pizza crust. Yeah, I've tried the cauliflower pizza crust. Doesn't work. I like cauliflower, though. I enjoy cauliflower. Like roasted or, you know, covered in cheese sauce or
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
But not in the pizza crust. 708 area code. Roller coasters and water slides. Well, that covers most of Gurnee. So, I used to love roller coasters when I was a kid. Used to love them. 816 area code. This is from Doc, who says, Nick, probably not going to see me anymore that I know at a polar plunge as a spectator or participant. Yeah, I don't quite understand the polar plunge thing. I don't understand that. You know, it's the middle of January and you're jumping into the lake. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I think that's just common sense. I mean, now, you know, and I know that people have done it, done the polar plunge. And I will say this: they've done it to raise money for, you know, for charity. That's great, and for, you know, for a good cause. That's really cool. But, you know, there's just something inherently wrong about jumping into the lake when it's 20 below out. I just, you know, so okay. We got a few more people calling in. We can wrap this up after the news. If you want to jump in, what are some things that everybody else seems to really, really like and you really, really don't? 312-981-7200. You're in the minority on this stuff. Everybody seems to love it in any category. So call us or text us right now at 312-981-7200, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. Things that everybody loves but you hate. And that's coming up after the news, which is coming up now. Picking some good music this morning, Vivian.
Thank
I love, love Hall & Oates.
Thank you very much.
Hall & Oates rules. yeah. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And we're talking about stuff that everybody seems to like, but you don't. Now, Vivian, is there anything that you dislike that everybody else seems to like in any category?
I think I'm going to get a lot of heat for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones.
You're not going to get any heat from me.
Really?
Oh, I stopped watching it after the second season. I was like, all right, I don't know.
I just hear all about it all the time,
yeah.
And I just cannot get my, you know, I just can't get myself to watch it.
Well, I couldn't get into it. I tried. I really tried because yeah. I think HBO does a lot of great stuff and they have a lot of great shows.
Yeah.
And I really did try, but I had to drop. I haven't, you know, and people are obsessed with that show.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is the final season. People are going nuts because it's coming back and it's the final season.
Yeah, it's all over social media.
Oh, yeah.
People are going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vic, you ever watch Game of Thrones?
I'm waiting until it's over and then I'm going to binge watch it.
Then you're going to binge it. Okay.
Right. I guess that's my plan because I just never watched it. What season are they on?
I don't even know. Six? Seven?
Is it six or seven?
Yeah.
Is it, so it's not good or you just don't get into it? Do you recommend it?
I will say this about Game of Thrones. The money's on screen. Let me just say that because the production values and the location work and the cinematography, it is a beautifully put together show. You know what I mean? Like it looks beautiful. And
okay.
Every dime that they spend is on that screen. You can see where it went. I just gave up on just trying to follow all the characters. Like 9,000 characters in this thing, and I didn't invest enough time where I cared enough to make the effort to follow it. Now, and I know that might sound hypocritical because my favorite show of all time is The Wire, and there were 9 million characters on that show.
Yeah, so they did, but no crossover for this one, huh?
Didn't care. But in The Wire, I liked all the characters. I cared about what was happening, and you know that big tapestry of what they did, using like the entire city of Baltimore and adding new angles each season. It just got richer and more satisfying. And it was a complicated show to watch, but I just didn't get into it. Like Game of Thrones. I mean, I don't know, but I'm with you on that, and it's not a popular opinion because people really love it. Hey, are you done with Deadwood?
No, I'm waiting for Jeannie.
Oh, okay.
She has to watch it with me, otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious to see.
Oh, no, I'm far from over.
Okay.
I am in the second season, though.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, remember, it's coming back.
I know.
And it's...
luck of the draw on that one.
Exactly,
I had no idea it was coming back when I started watching.
Exactly. So, now, Vic, are there anything that you don't like that everybody else seems to enjoy?
Well, Beaches, I mean, I named that one.
Oh,
that one, I'll have to think.
Okay.
Are we winding up on this one?
Yeah, I got a few more texts here, but I just wanted to mention there were a couple of things that I just don't like. For instance, like in the world of television, we were just talking about Game of Thrones. I can't stand the Big Bang Theory. I can't stand it. And I don't think it's funny. I don't get it, and it's like the biggest show on TV. It's like the biggest comedy on TV, and every time I've tried to watch it, I just go, yeah, this isn't funny at all.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I am.
I just don't. I mean, I don't.
That's another show I couldn't get into.
I can't do, and I've tried, you know, I've tried to watch it a bunch of times, and I just...
Yeah.
I don't understand. I just don't understand it at all.
Same.
Okay, I got one.
All right.
I have to Google it. Okay. Nutella. What's the big deal about that? People are still lining up on Michigan Avenue outside the store in 40-degree weather. Okay, 40's not bad, but still, for what?
Wait, are you talking about like the actual like Nutella? Because I love Nutella.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried it. It's decent. My worlds don't turn upside down when I put it in my mouth. It's just not that.
I've never gone to any of the Nutella stores. Or the one, yeah, I know which one you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Just south of here on Michigan Avenue.
Yep.
Yeah,
just this weekend, Nick, there was still a line outside. Now, granted, I think it was Sunday, so you still had a lot of the crowd from St. Patrick's Day around.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day, sure.
So I don't know if that's every day, but still, there's still a line outside.
When you're drunk, you want Nutella.
It's so good, though.
I like Nutella.
I love Nutella.
I think it's great. But
well, that's a perfect one, then. There's another one.
Yeah.
I don't.
All right. We got a bunch of texts here. If you guys want to jump in, what does everybody else like but you don't? 312-981-7200, and it's any category. 724 area code says fantasy movies in general, traveling in general, and sushi. Oh, I love sushi. Traveling, you know, I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind traveling. It's fun to go other places and learn things and stuff like that. 630 area code says, I'm not into superhero movies.
Me neither.
If I was, I'd instantly double the amount of activities I could do with my friends. Oh, okay. Because they all go out and see this. They go out and see the new superhero movie every
That's
week.
That's good. I'm with this guy. Is it a male or female? I don't know. But the texter, I'm with them because I'm the same way. Are you going to watch the? I don't even know what's out or what's been out.
Well,
I haven't watched
the
last several.
I'll tell you what, Vic. At this point, there's so many of them that you'll be completely lost if you try to
right.
If you try to go see a Marvel, like if you go to see the Avengers, the Endgame in a few weeks, you like 20 minutes in, you're gonna be like, I have no idea what the hell's going
right,
on.
Right, right.
Because that Marvel universe is 10 years old now. It all got kicked off 10 years ago with Iron Man. And it just keeps getting more complicated and more characters and more crossover stuff. And, you know, look, I've seen all the movies and sometimes I'm going, I don't know what's going on. I have to ask my comic book friends, you know, because I don't read comic books. I never did read comic books. And so sometimes things will happen in those movies where I have to consult, you know, one of my friends and go, okay, what the hell was that scene? And then they explain it to me so I'm not completely lost for the next 75 comic book movies I have to see. There are some comic book movies that I really, really like, but for the most part, I just think they're fine. You know, like I thought Captain Marvel was really good. 90% of that is because I love Brie Larson. That's one of the main reasons why. But like the my favorite comic book movie of all time is Logan, and that was an offshoot of a Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman. And it was completely different than any. Have you seen it, Vivian?
I actually have the script.
Oh, you do?
That. Yeah. I'll bring it to you.
Did you see the movie?
I did not see the movie, but I read the script. Is that weird?
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Isn't that weird?
That is kind of weird. But it's the thing about it is it's completely different than, you know, the other Marvel superhero, you know, comic book movies, yeah. Because one, it's rated R. And not rated R because of, like Deadpool, where it's just like, toilet humor and stuff. And here's, that's a perfect example right there of what the topic we're talking about. I can't stand the Deadpool movies. And everybody loves them. Everybody thinks they're hilarious. I don't think they're funny at all.
He's sarcastic.
Yeah,
he's
but
very
movies. You're right. He is, yeah. And he's like breaks the fourth wall, and he's making smart ass comments throughout the entire movie. And I have no patience for that. Like, after 15 minutes of the same crap, I'm just like, all right, shut up, man.
It's predictable.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just don't think it's very funny.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Ryan Reynolds, and I haven't seen any of either of the Deadpools either because I don't think they just don't appeal to me.
Yeah, I would be interesting if you're a fan of Ryan Reynolds. I mean, I'm a fan of Ryan Reynolds too. I like him, but this character, I just don't get it. And that's definitely one that people, you know, when I tell them I don't like the Deadpool movies, they're like, "What's wrong with you?" But Logan is a different kind of movie. Vic, this is one that maybe you could even watch and enjoy because it does not play like a comic book movie. It's R-rated, it's violent, it's very emotional, and it plays more like a Western. It plays much more like a Western than a comic book movie. And I think it's my favorite comic book movie because it doesn't seem like a comic book movie.
Well, I will watch it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Man, Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart are both unbelievable in it. Like, and the little girl who's in it is great. I mean, this is one of those things where it's like you look at Logan and those two lead performances by Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman. They were Oscar worthy. They were absolutely Oscar worthy. And you don't usually say that about a comic book movie. So here's Paul on WGN. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Here's why I don't like horse riding at all. I went to one of those stables where the horses follow each other. And this horse was so relaxed, it walked out into the middle of a pond and stopped and took a drink for about 10 minutes while I'm sitting on it.
Yeah.
And well, and then it's going down the trail, and the horse in front of it stirred up a pheasant, and it made the horse buck in front of me. And it shot up a big chunk of mud and hit me right in the eye.
Yeah. Well, see, now, again, Paul, I do want to preface this. I said a little bit earlier, that's not really horseback riding. Those horses are not in great shape. I don't, I don't know personally, but they're historically at those kind of places, they're not as taken care of as they should be. They're not treated as well as they should be, which explains their lethargy, being lethargic and that kind of behavior. So to be fair, yeah, I can totally understand why you find horseback riding an unpleasant experience. But yeah, cause I'd never go on those trails. I just, of course I haven't been on a horse, man. I haven't been on a horse in years. I mean like a lot of years. So I would probably have no control over a horse right now at all. I'd get on there and the horse would be like, oh, this guy hasn't been on the back of a horse in a long time. I'm going to mess with him. I'm going to throw him right onto the street and then I'm going to laugh. Paul, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll wrap this up. We've got a bunch more texts here. If you want to jump in, we're going to wrap this up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN-TV. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, and we're here until 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're going to talk about some situations that happen to everybody, but no one really talks about them, and I think we're going to recognize some of these things. And these are bits of behavior that we've had. It's this is from boardpanda.com, by the way, the website boardpanda.com. And this is the intro to this. And if we want to hear from you, so you can admit that you've had some of these situations, you can call us or text us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. One of the reasons that observational comedy is so popular is because it points out those things that we all just know but don't really think about. We all experience certain everyday situations at the shop or on a bus or in the office. There are hundreds of small mundane occasions when we all pretty much think and feel the same way, but we just don't realize it. We here at Board Panda have collected a list of just these kind of occasions, and there are sure to be plenty of them that will leave you nodding along in bemused recognition. Check them out for yourself. So here are some of these. These are the situations that I think we can all sort of identify with. Someone says, enter password, wrong, reset password, new password can't be old password, set fire to computer. It says, keeping track of your passwords can be difficult. It's a fine line between good online security and being able to remember the damn things, and it's only getting more complex. Capital letters, numerals, you can't dare to try that, dash. Just come up with a decent one, and it takes a certain talent. How many times have we done that? Like, forgot the password for a certain website. I've done it.
Always.
And had to reset.
It's happened so many times to
me. I mean, and even when I mark them down sometimes, I'm like, So that's a common one. Someone posts, when you leave the store without buying anything and all you can think is, actually, act naturally, you're innocent. this is the perfect time to test out your neutral face. Look straight ahead, maybe whistle a bit, relax. It can get awkward, though, if there's no exit except at the checkout. You have to squeeze your way through, drawing attention from everyone. Yes, mostly because you need to squeeze past people who are in line being helped because there is no exit, I'm not going to wait in line to buy anything. So that doesn't happen to me very often. I usually go into a store with a purpose. Just kind of... unless there was a time, there'd be like killing time, you know. Like, I used to do that at bookstores a lot. I'd go into bookstores and just read. You know, like, if I was killing time before a movie, if I showed up really early, I'd just go to a bookstore and read some magazines or read part of a book, and then I'd leave without buying anything. Okay, how about this? When medication says, do not operate heavy machinery, they're probably mainly referring to cars, but in my mind, it's always a forklift. I regard heavy machinery as anything heavier and more complex than the remote. I'm high, unpredictable, and a risk to everyone. Now leave me alone, is what they say. I guess that makes sense, you know, because I think they are saying don't get in a car and drive if you're on medication. But maybe they could be a little bit more clear on that. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. I like this one. Someone posts, the worst part of online shopping is having to get up and go get your card.
That is so true.
As life gets easier, the easy things even seem harder. Whereas we used to happily traipse up and down the high street for our shopping, the act of getting up off the couch to grab our credit card now feels like a major inconvenience. If this is you, try saving your card number and expiration dates on your browser. Then you can summon the effort, memorize those three little numbers on the back, and there you go. That's so true. That is so lazy and so true. I've done that. I've absolutely done it. Oh, damn it. You know, I got to go, you know. Oh, man. One of my biggest faults is when I ask someone their name, I forget to listen to what their name is. I really need to work on this. Yeah, I'm not great. I'm not great with names. I'm not. What about you, Vivian? Are you?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
It depends.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do get it. I mean, sometimes I might forget somebody's name and I just feel bad.
Yeah. I've had the situation where someone could, hey, and they can, you know, come up to me and I'm like, hey, you.
Yeah. Just the you. It's
you.
Not a name. It's
yeah. It's like in that episode of Seinfeld where he forgot the girl's name that he's dating.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you ever watch Seinfeld?
Yes, I have.
I mean, I've seen every episode about 5,000 times.
It's, oh, my goodness.
It's one of my favorite
shows.
Of my favorite shows of all time. But there's an episode where he's dating this girl and he forgets her name and he can't ask her because they've, like, made out and stuff. So it would not be, you know, wouldn't be cool to ask a girl that you've, like, fooled around with, what's your name?
Yeah.
So he asks Kramer. Kramer comes in when she's like in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And Kramer comes in to borrow something, which he always does. And he's like, hey, I forgot this girl's name. Introduce yourself and so she'll say her name and I'll know her name. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. So she comes out.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, I'd like you to meet my friend. This is Kramer. And she goes, oh, it's nice to meet you. And then Kramer goes, okay, thanks, I'll see you later. And he leaves.
Oh, no.
And at one point, like, she goes to the bathroom. He's going through her purse to try and find an ID just so he can, like, remember her name.
Can you imagine?
But the punchline is that he's like, did anybody ever make fun of your name when you were growing up? He was trying to get her to remind her of the name. And she's like, well, what do you think when you have a name that rhymes with the part of a female anatomy? And so,
oh my gosh.
So he's like, oh, so then he and George are brainstorming and they're trying to, find, like, they come up with Mulva. They, at one point, your name is Mulva. But the best part is, like, he gets busted. She's like, you don't know my name. At the end of the show, after he's attempting to try to get her to say, you know, her name, she's like, you don't know my name, do you? And he's like, no, yeah, of course I do. And she's like, what is it? And he's like, Mulva? And then she's like, I'm leaving. And, you know, because it rhymes with a female body part. So she leaves, and he's like, oh, man. So she leaves, and like 2 minutes go by, he goes, oh, no. And he looks out the window and screams, Dolores!
That's so good.
It's hilarious.
That was funny.
This is an awkward one, because once you get past a certain point, it's desperately impolite to ask. That's what we just said. As an Australian, you get a straight pass because you could just call someone mate. But why do we forget people's names? The simplest and most brutally honest reason is that we just aren't interested. We are much more better at remembering the things that we are motivated to learn. So if people keep forgetting your name, they probably just don't really care about you. Oh, okay. How about this? Sometimes I accidentally think about something very awkward I did 3 years ago. And then I think, no, 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 no. And then someone writes, only 3 years. And here I am stressing out about the time I crap myself at Jake McGrath's 5th birthday party. Sadly, some things will just never leave you. How about this? You never realize how long a minute is until you're exercising. Well, I don't do a lot of exercising, so that... who pays attention to single minutes? Most of us know more or less how long 10 minutes feels. I'll be with you in 10. Yeah, you pretty much know what you're getting. Except that single minute can be taken for granted. That's like no time except at the gym. Hold that plank for 1 minute, someone tells you. No problem, you think. Piece of cake. It's only then that you realize how excruciatingly long those 60 seconds can be. You watch in creeping horror as the seconds slowly drip by, oblivious to your shaking, sagging ordeal, before you collapse at around the 40-second mark, leaving yourself in a quivering, sweaty heap. All right, how about this? You take out your phone to check the time and then put it right back in your pocket. A couple of seconds go by and you realize you have no idea what time it is, and then you take out your phone and check the time again. I've done that.
Guilty.
I have absolutely done that. No question about it. Here's what they say about that. By the way, if you've done any of these things and you want to admit to some of these common situations that we all have to admit that we've done at some point or another, 312-981-7200. We grab our phones multiple times a day, often for no reason other than habits based on addiction for pleasure or obsession for relief from the anxiety of just missing out. Writing in Psychology Today, Dr. Larry D. Rosen believes that your motivation for constant connection is a combination of pleasure and anxiety. How much of each, I believe, is based on the individual, he says. Personally, I would say I grab the phone about 75% of the time for anxiety reduction and 25% of the time for pleasure. I watch others, and when I see some smiling as they tap keys and await returned missives, I assume that they're feeling pleasure. Most often, I don't see them smiling at all. Maybe express an almost visible sigh of relief. Here's one that is something that I deal with on a regular basis because of my job. This was just someone randomly saying, when you hear a recording of your own voice and you begin questioning who you really are. I can't stand hearing myself on the radio. I just, if it ever, you know, like, they used to have this show called, it was 720, it was 720, the best of 720, that used to follow my show on Friday nights. I used to be on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeah.
I used to just do weekends. And so they would do like this sort of best of the week where they would play back segments from a bunch of shows. So, you know, there would be times when I would get home after my shift and I would just chill out and maybe turn the radio on and listen to it. And then suddenly one of my segments would be on and I'd be like, because I don't want to hear myself. I really don't want to hear myself.
I feel the same way.
Do you?
Yeah,
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people
do. You
just
feel a little awkward. Maybe.
I feel really awkward. It's like, you know, with actors who don't want to watch themselves, like they don't see their own movies.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. I don't want to hear. First of all, when I hear myself, I think, God, do I sound like that? Is that what I sound like? And I immediately just feel real self-conscious. And then also, if for some reason, you know, like I'll listen for more than like maybe 5 minutes, and it's 5 minutes of like torture of me hearing my own voice, then then I start to critique my performance, like the content of what we were talking about.
Oh, my
gosh. I'll think, man, not only do I sound terrible, but this is a really crappy segment. So I can't listen to myself. I just can't.
Same here.
Ugh.
Same here.
Yeah, I think it's true with a lot of people, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
All right. All right. Let's take a break here. When we come back, what are some of these common situations that we've all been in that we sometimes don't admit? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. And we will return after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We've been talking about these sort of common situations that happen to everyone. We don't really talk about them because some of them are embarrassing, like not remembering people's names or forgetting your passwords and changing it 900 times. Yeah, to other things too, to not wanting to hear your voice, So if you come across any of these common situations, we'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Coming up at 6 o'clock, Steve Cochran has your morning drive, and coming up, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Vic Vaughn. That's all coming up. Okay, next, let's talk a little bit more about some of these situations that a lot of us have been through. Here's a good one. When you Google the lyrics and you realize you've been singing nonsense for 6 months, the misheard lyrics, the famous misheard lyrics. That ever happened to you?
Yes, always.
You sing the wrong stuff?
Yes, all the time.
There's a website called Kiss This Guy. Kiss This Guy. And it's all about misheard. It's people who just post lyrics that they've misheard and that they've been singing wrong. And the website is called Kiss This Guy because in Purple Haze, Jimi Hendrix sings, "Excuse me while I kiss the sky." But some people think it's, "Excuse me while I kiss the guy, this guy." So that's why they call that the website. And there are so many misheard lyrics. One of my favorites is, Hold Me Closer, Tiny, Tony Danza. Is one of them, "Hold Me Close to Tony Danza."
Right.
That's one. That's one of the famous ones. There's so many of them. There's like a ton of them. But the one of my favorites is a friend of mine misheard the lyrics to "Jump" by Van Halen. And the actual lyric is, "Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. I ain't the worst thing you've seen, or do you see what I mean?" Well, my friend used to think it was, "Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. I eat the worst things you've seen." Like, eat the worst things you've seen. So, like, he's leaning up against it, like David Lee Roth is leaning up against a jukebox, like eating worms or something. The phenomenon known as mondegreen, which the New Yorker explains, misheard word or phrase that makes sense in your head, but is in fact entirely incorrect. It has got to go. It's got to do with the way that your brain processes the sounds you hear is governed by things like knowledge and familiarity. The classic example is "Excuse me while I kiss the sky." "Excuse me while I kiss the guy." "Kiss this guy." So there's an actual scientific name for it. So, but that's a very common one. You Google the lyrics and you realize, wait a minute, that's not the way that song goes. I'm sure we've all done that. And here's the other thing about it is that I think a lot of people, and we've talked about this before, a lot of people who have misheard lyrics and been singing them wrong all along, when they find out that the lyrics are not what they thought they were, they still won't change them. Like, they'll still sing what they were singing before, despite the fact that it is still the wrong lyrics. Some people just won't change it. It's like, no, you know what? I don't care if these are the wrong lyrics. This is the way I've been singing it for years, and these are the words that I'm going to sing. So, let's see. Talking about some regular situations that everybody's been in, here's Tim on WGN. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, what's up?
Hey, you guys were talking about when you forget a name, say somebody you've known forever, but you don't remember their name.
Yeah.
What I usually do is come up to them and I'll say, you know, talk to them a little bit and say, "Hey, what's your name again?" And they're like, "Come on, you know me forever. My name's Joe, Jim, Betty, whatever."
Yeah.
I say, no, not your first name, your last name.
Oh, that's good. That's good, dude. That's good.
It works.
That's good. All right, very cool. That's a good one, man. I'm gonna file that one away in my idiotic brain. All right, Tim. Thanks, man. Not your first name, your last. That's good.
That was good, right?
That's very clever.
Yeah.
Very clever. Oh, not your first name. I knew your first name. I mean your last. That's good. All right. Here's Dan on WGN. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, morning, Nick. I call it a senior moment. When I'm dressed for winter, I have 16 pockets, and I end up looking for something that's in one of my 16 pockets. I call it a senior moment,
yeah.
And I'm only 62.
Well, you know, this happens to everybody. You know what? Here's another thing. Here's another thing that I believe has happened to every single person who's listening right now. You ever walk into a room and then go, what the hell did I walk in here for?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I do that. Okay, I do that all the time. All right, Dan, thanks.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, what am I doing in the kitchen? What the hell did I want? Oh. And then you go back and you sit down and you go, what did I? Oh, now I remember. And you go back into the kitchen.
Yeah, happens to me all the time.
All the time. All the time. And there's actually, you know, I mentioned that on the show a little while ago. There's another, again, as usual, there's some sort of scientific term for what that is. And there is some sort of behavior that your brain, you know, lacks that that is the reason why you walk in and go, But seriously, it happens a lot. It really does happen a lot. And I don't have a huge apartment. It's not like I have to walk all the way across, you know. Like I'll walk into the bedroom. What do I want in here? I'll just go back and sit down. But it happens all the time. How about this one? Okay, this is a weird one, I have to say. Someone posted, I want to start my meal, but I can't find the perfect show to watch while I eat. I guess some people do that. I don't know. I don't. And they say, I kind of miss the days when we had four channels and that was it. For dinner, you had news, you had soap opera, or The Simpsons. Easy choice. Now, it's at least an hour of fraught decision-making, eventually resulting in a complete lack of commitment to anything. Meanwhile, your food gets cold. Yeah. I don't know. That's not something I knew. That's not something I do. Wait for the perfect show before I eat. I don't do that. I mean, I live alone too, and I eat while I watch TV. There's no question about it. But I don't go, well, wait a minute. I'm gonna have to wait for the perfect. To wait for the perfect show. It's usually Seinfeld, so because it's on like 40 times a day. You can. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we got more common situations that we're embarrassed about, but we've all been through them. And the news is coming up right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday, but we're not doing Two for Tuesday this morning. Vivian is producing for us this morning, and this is the third show that you've produced in the week?
Yes, actually fourth. You are my fourth show.
Fourth show, and yeah. you're going to be with us till Friday.
Yes, I am.
Through Friday. You're doing a great job. We're having fun.
Thanks.
You having a good time?
Yes, I'm having a blast.
Good, 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 good. So she's producing this morning for us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We've been talking about these common situations that we get into that nobody really ever talks about. We're admitting we forget people's names. You know, if we go down to the basement and we turn the light off, we run up the stairs so as not to get killed by the demon that's in the dark basement suddenly. Walk into a store, not buy anything, and then feel very weird about leaving. Just these common sort of mundane things that we do that we all have in common that sometimes we don't talk about. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. See, here is Donald on WGN. Hi, Donald.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, so my thing was extremely embarrassing. I did some time in jail, right? And I lost touch with, I was out of the loop of some people I knew, even the people I knew for a long time. So when I got out, I said, one of my friends said, did you hear what happened to Sally? And I said, I didn't want to admit. You know, and I said, yeah, I heard she wasn't feeling too well. And there was a long silence on the other side of the phone. And then all of a sudden he said, didn't you read about that? And I went, well, bring this up. What was it? Said, well, it was, it made all the newspapers. She got hit by a thief running away from the law at the top of an escalator and fell down and she died at the bottom. And I went, oh.
so you just said that you made it up, like she's not feeling well, even though she had died.
Right. And I didn't know she had died, actually.
Right.
I wanted to pretend like I was still keeping in touch with everybody.
I gotcha. Yeah, I see.
How embarrassing that was.
It is embarrassing. All right, Donald, thanks, man. Have a good one.
Okay.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
I got one, Nick.
Yeah, man.
This is ridiculous. I have no idea why I did it, but I was getting off the elevator, and I, on my floor, when I came to my floor, I turned left. And my apartment was right, and I waited until the door shut, and because there was people on the car, before I walked past again, because I didn't want them to know.
Oh,
that
you didn't
I
want you didn't you want them to know where you live?
Yeah,
what unit you were in?
No. I just didn't. I guess I was embarrassed that I went the wrong way, so I didn't.
Oh, I see.
I didn't want them to think I didn't know where I was. Yeah, so I just waited for the doors to shut because I was out of sight.
I didn't know you went the wrong way. I
went the wrong way.
Oh, I see.
Waited for the doors to shut before I went back.
That's funny.
It's ridiculous.
I thought maybe you were so paranoid you didn't want people to know what door you were going to unlock.
No.
Okay.
It's just idiotic.
That is funny.
Who cares what they,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That is funny. Let's see. We just got a bunch of texts in. We're talking about these situations that we all find ourselves in every once in a while that are mundane and weird, and sometimes we don't admit it. 224 area code says that 1 minute is also a long time when microwaving something. I remember Ellen DeGeneres years ago when she was just a stand-up comedian, not the, you know, daytime talk show icon that she is now. She did a bit about how impatient her father was. And one of the things that she did several examples about how, like, ridiculously impatient her father was. Wanted things done immediately. And one of the bits, and I'll never forget, I always think of this whenever I microwave something. I always think of this. She said, my dad will stand in front of a microwave and put the food in and then hit the button and immediately go, come on, I don't have all minute. And I honestly think of that every time I put something in the microwave. I think, come on, I don't have all minute. That is really, it's really what it's one of my favorite. It's one of those lines that, like, you know, when you hear certain stand-up routines or lines from certain stand-up routines, it just sticks with you. I remember it was on, if I'm not mistaken, it was on The Tonight Show when she was on with Johnny Carson. And I just remember laughing my ass off. Come on, I don't have all minute. All right, here's James on WGN. Hi, James.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey.
I'm sorry, I caught in late, but one of the funniest trees of all time, and I'm 70 years old, was musician comedian Neil Deer, and he used to do Help Me, Rhonda. And one of the lines from Help Me, Rhonda, but he goes, since you put me down, there's been owls puking in my bed.
No.
That's great, man.
Yeah,
hey, you guys have a good night.
All right, take care. There you go. There's an owl's puking in my bed. Listen, we've done, we haven't done it in a long time, so we might want to bring it back. We've done a whole huge segment on misheard lyrics because everybody has songs. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Maybe we'll jump into the misheard lyrics tomorrow. I'll bust out the website, kissthisguy.com, and then we can just have people call in and give us their misheard lyrics. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But no, there's a lot of that. All right, here's another one. Another little thing here that says, they posted, if I wake up at 8:27 and my alarm was set for 8:30, you can bet 100% I'm going to close my eyes and go back to sleep for those 3 minutes. Now, here's the thing. Are you a... Vivian, are you a snooze user?
I really am. I'm really bad.
Are you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I am.
Vic, what about you, man? Do you rely on the snooze button on the old alarm?
I do exactly what that texter does.
Oh, if it's like you got 3 minutes. Well, we were talking about this before. You can take power naps. You're one of those people who can go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Here's the thing. I've been married twice, and both of the women that I was once married to were snooze alarm people. I am not at all. And also, I've always worked nights. So I'm in bed. They're getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they hit the snooze alarm like 20 times. And it would make me absolutely nuts. It would make me absolutely nuts because I'm trying to sleep. I got home. I probably got home either I was bartending. I got home at 4:30 in the morning, or I was working a shift here, and I got home at 5:06 in the morning. And then I'm in bed for maybe an hour, hour and a half, and all of a sudden, I finally get to sleep, and all of a sudden, the alarm goes off. She hits the snooze. 8 minutes later, the alarm goes off. She hits the snooze. You know, I'm trying to sleep, and all I do is I lay there, and I'm thinking to myself, the alarm's going to go off any minute now again, and I can't sleep because I'm like, I can't. She's got to get up, get out of bed. I can't deal with this anymore. And this was a thing. Both of the women that I lived with, I lived with three women, but the two that I was married to, they were total. I mean, my last wife, she would lay in bed for 45 minutes,
hitting the snooze button repeatedly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, like, so it would go off like every 10 minutes, and I'd be like, I'm going to kill myself. I swear to God, I'm going to jump out the window.
That alone is grounds for divorce.
Yeah. That's not why. That's not why we got divorced. But you know. But anyway. So, and then because to me, there are snooze people and then there are not snooze people. And I am not a snooze person. The reason why is I don't know how people can go back to sleep. This is we've talked about my sleeping issues already on this show. It takes me 90 minutes to fall asleep when I get home, at least. Yeah, I'm not kidding. About 90 minutes to fall asleep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my brain is just running. I'm thinking of things. I can't sleep. I'm, you know, tossing and turning. And then finally, about 90 minutes, I'll finally get to sleep. And I never sleep for longer than maybe at a stretch, 4 hours, maybe at a stretch. Then I'm up, wake up a little bit again, try to get back to sleep, do another 3 hours. I don't remember the last time I had 7-8 hours of sleep straight. I really don't remember. If ever. Maybe when I was a kid. I don't know. But anyway, here's my thinking. And this is why I'm not, I don't know how people, the snooze people, as I call them, I don't know how they can hear the alarm and then hit the snooze button and then not just think about the fact that the snooze button is going to go off, that the alarm is going to go off again in 8 minutes. Because that's all I think about. Like if I tried to use the snooze button, I'd be like, I'll get a few more minutes of sleep. And I'd hit the snooze and then lay there and go, oh man, it's just going to go off in another 7 minutes or 8 minutes. I should just get up now. I don't know how people can go back to sleep. I just don't comprehend it. But
maybe you should try one time and really experience it, Nick.
I tried. I can't. I've tried to use the snooze button, but seriously, if I would hit the snooze button, I'd be like laying there, maybe trying to go to sleep, and then I'd go, I can't go to sleep. This thing is going to go off again. The alarm's going to go off in 8 minutes.
You think too far ahead.
And then I anticipate the alarm going off. And then that aggravates me. And I'm laying in bed being aggravated, not being able to sleep because this damn alarm is going to go off again in 8 minutes. And when I have no control over the snooze button, which was the case when I was married, I would just lay there and go, this damn thing is going to go off again. She's going to hit the snooze button again. I swear to God. I swear to God, I'm going to jump in the oven. I can't deal with this. I don't understand how the snooze button works. Because that's it. That's what I immediately think of. I just think, oh, okay, I hit this button, but it's going to go off in another 8 minutes. So, all right, how about this? More texts here. 847 area code says, almost the same thing you were talking about when you walk into a Walgreens or a store for just one or two items and you can't remember what you came in for, so you start walking around the store hoping you remember. Yeah, I guess that happens. 262 area code says, I do the same thing as the person who looks for the perfect show to watch when eating, but with naps. I can't fall asleep until I find the right show, but I fall asleep within 2 minutes if I find it anyway. Oh, so if they, oh, you got it, so you sleep with the TV on. Oh, okay. I can understand that. I used to sleep when I was growing up, I used to sleep with the radio on. So I would fall asleep to Eddie Schwartz or Dave Baum, or I would fall asleep to Steve and Johnny. This shift right here is what I would have on my radio. I'd have WGNN.
Would you look at that?
And now I'm hosting this shift. So I think there are people right now who are laying in bed, listening, trying to go to sleep. But I would imagine I could probably put a lot of people to sleep. That would be my guess. So, okay, let's take a break and we'll come back. We got more texts and more situations that we're going to chat about. Also, we're going to jump into movie casting decisions that made fans very angry but actually turned out to be really good casting decisions. And we'll jump into that. And if you want to jump in at any time, it's 312-981-7200.
And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago, here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm here till 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we've been talking about some, common situations that we've all been through. Sometimes we don't want to admit them because they're kind of silly and mundane, but we do. And we're getting some more texts here. 952 says, area code says, someone near you passes gas and you're desperately pretending like you didn't hear anything. Okay. 773 area code says, when you can't believe people watch these televangelist TV shows and then you find yourself watching the same show out of weird curiosity. This is something. It wasn't a TV televangelist show, but there was a period of time when I first moved in with my ex-wives. She didn't have cable when I first moved in, so there was a period of time where we didn't have cable, and I can't imagine not having cable. I mean, the amount of television that I watch, the amount of channels that I need. I can't imagine not having cable. But when I first moved in with her, for a couple of months we didn't have cable, and then I finally said I can't do this. And so we ended up getting, cable. So but for that 2 months, we only had the regular channels to choose from. No cable, nothing. And this person talking about how you get weirded out, wondering how people could watch this show, and then you end up watching it yourself. Have you ever seen, Vivian, have you ever seen According to Jim?
Yes.
The Jim Belushi thing?
Yes.
Okay. It's the worst television show in the history of television.
I had a feeling you'd say that, actually. And I don't know why.
It is without question the worst television show ever in the history of television. It's unbelievably bad. But there was a period of time when I was watching it because I was so hypnotized by how horrible it was. Oh, and we didn't have cable, so I didn't have a lot of other choices. I did have other choices, and I had choices that were better. A Test Pattern is better than According to Jim. So I would just be watching it, and I'd sit there, and I'd be just like mesmerized by its sheer awfulness. Like the writing, everything about it, how unfunny it was, and then Jim Belushi, you just want to punch that guy in the face. And then you think, how the hell did he get Courtney Thorne Smith? How did that happen? So I just was watching it, and I became sort of obsessed with its terribleness. My wife would come home, and she'd be like, why are you watching that? And I'm like, because I can't turn it off. I cannot turn it off. This is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my gosh.
The absolute worst thing I've ever seen on television in my entire life. And I can't, for some reason, I can't turn it off. It's hypnotizing me with its crap. So finally, that I believe that's when she consented to get cable, was when she's like, look, if you're going to watch According to Jim all the time,
let's get cable. Yeah, there you go.
So maybe it was like a subconscious thing on my part. It was like, maybe if I keep watching this terrible Jim Belushi show, she'll say, let's get cable.
And you did.
And I succeeded, yes.
There
but there was a time period where, like, this person who got sort of, obsessed with these televangelists, There was a period of time where I was watching According to Jim on a regular basis and sitting in front of the TV, shaking my head, going, I cannot believe that any human being would voluntarily watch this garbage.
I only watched a couple of episodes, okay?
Yeah.
But you should think According to Jim because you got cable.
Well, sure. Sure. I don't want to thank Jim Belushi for anything, quite frankly. All right. 614 area code says, I'm 34 years old. I check myself licking my fingers before separating plastic bags or turning a page of any kind. It reminds me of my mom and grandma rubbing something off of my face. Doing this tells me I'm getting older. A lot of people do that. You know, lick their fingers before they turn a page. I don't know. I don't know if that's strictly an old person thing. 785 area code says, I've been doing radio for 30 years and I still can't stand to listen to myself. Yeah, me too, pal. 33 years in May. No, 34 years in, wait a minute, 34 years in May. It'll be, jeez. And I can't stand to listen to myself. And then I also have to go and retrieve my credit card when I order something online. You know why? Because when I get home, you know, I'll put on like sweats or something, or like, you know, pajama pants or something just to chill out in. I'm not going to carry my wallet in my pajama pants, you know. So they're on the other. That's on the other side of the room. My wallet's on the other side of the room where I have my credit card. How about this one was posted up. Do you ever just forget to hide your expressions for a minute, and then you're like, "Whoa, I didn't mean to make that face out loud." Like you grimace at someone, someone makes a comment. This is a good one. When you accidentally overhear a stranger's conversation and then you mentally give your opinion. I think that's good. I think that's a really good
one.
That
is a good one.
You know, when you do eavesdrop on some, sometimes you're just like, man, these people don't know what the hell they're talking about. You ever
yeah,
do that? Like,
yeah, it's happened before, for
these people,
sure.
These people need to shut up. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
And then you say it too loud, and they kind of overhear you, too.
What's really funny is there's a great scene in Annie Hall, one of my favorite scenes in Annie Hall, where they're waiting online at a movie. It's Woody Allen and Diane Keaton. They're waiting online in a movie, and there is this just blowhard, pompous jackass in front of him online at the movie, giving his, you know, opinions about media and film and stuff like that. And it's driving Woody Allen nuts because the guy has no idea what the hell he's talking about. He's talking really loudly so everybody online can hear him. And it's driving Woody Allen nuts. And so then he starts talking about this media writer and a brilliant guy, Marshall McLuhan, who was just a fantastic writer and concentrated in the world of media. Mm-hmm. And this guy starts spouting off about Marshall McLuhan and stuff. And Woody Allen goes, look, would you please? He finally can't take it anymore. He's like, would you stop? You have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about Marshall McLuhan. You don't know what you're talking about. And the guy goes, well, you know what? I happen to be a college professor at Columbia, and I teach about television and media. So I think I know a little bit about something. And he goes, really? You think so? Well, look at this. And he walks off the line. He goes behind a cardboard cutout of a coming attraction thing.
Yeah.
He goes, look at this. And he pulls out Marshall McLuhan. And he brings Marshall McLuhan up. I happen to have Marshall McLuhan here right now. And Marshall McLuhan goes, I heard what you said. You know nothing of my work. And then Woody Allen looks directly into the camera. He goes, God, if only life were like this. Could just get Marshall McLuhan to come out. It was one of my favorite moments in the entire movie.
That's awesome.
Just to shut that guy up. And that's... That's true, though, man. When you hear some people talking and you're like, oh God, I can't listen to this because I'm gonna say something. I'm absolutely gonna say something. So, all right, let's take a quick break here. We got a couple of more of these. If you want to jump in and on the tail end of this, we can throw a few more texts in. If you want to call 312-981-7200, and then we'll wrap it up. And we're gonna get to casting decisions that made fans angry, even though they were good casting decisions in the movies. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. And We're going to talk about some casting decisions in movies that made fans angry, but that turned out to be great casting decisions. And then I also want to throw it out there, like, who do you think has been beautifully cast in movies? Like, if you've read a book or was based on a book or a comic book or something like that, and who do you think has been some of the best casting in movies based on other material? And we'll get into that in a little bit. But right now we've been talking about some of the situations that you get into and some of the behavior that we exhibit. It's kind of embarrassing, but everybody's done it. All right, here's one. Here's another one. When someone is in the way of the item that you want, so you pretend to look at something else. So, like, let's say you're in a grocery store or something and someone is standing in front of the item that you want, then you just kind of browse a couple of feet over and look at something else. I've done that. I have absolutely done that. And then someone says, no, I shuffle up to the person and hover about them from behind them slightly to the left so that they can see me in the corner of their eyes. Then I stand completely still staring at whatever they're looking at. People tend to quickly glance left to see if you're really standing there. Then they look back at the items that you're staring at. They pick one and then they swiftly leave. How about this one? We've all done this. You stand in the shortest checkout line, but then the one next to you is moving faster. Happens all the time.
I hate that.
Happens all the time.
I hate that.
Yeah. Judging the line at the supermarket is one of those handy skills that you can get that can get you ahead in everyday life. Sure, that guy might have a small basket, but they are all fresh goods that need to be weighed and typed in manually. That lady has a trolley full of cans, but they're all the same and will pass through the single scan without a quick count. Study the baskets. All right, how about this one? When you wake up and check your phone to see how much time you've got left to sleep, but it's right before your alarm is supposed to ring. That's very similar to what we were talking about before. Yeah, and I do that because I usually take a nap in the evening before work, you know, usually in the evening, sometimes not. But when I do, and inevitably, you know, with my weird sleeping habits, if I do grab my phone and look at it, I inevitably, if let's say I've got my alarm set for, because normally I'll set my alarm for like 9:55. Because I want to watch The Daily Show and then jump in the shower. That's my routine. I got to watch The Daily Show and jump in the shower. I got to have my Trevor Noah. So if I look and I wake up and it's, you know, my alarm is set for 9:55 typically, and it's like 9:53, I immediately go, oh man, you know, because it's like I probably just got to sleep and had like 40 minutes of sleep, and then of course, yeah, that happens. This happens too often to be a coincidence. There must be an explanation. According to an article by Lucas Riley in Mental Floss, your body adapts well if you have a good sleep routine and tries to preempt the stress of your dreaded alarm. Your body hates your alarm clock. It's jarring, it's stressful, and it ruins all that hard work. It defeats the purpose of gradually waking up. So to avoid being interrupted, your body does something amazing. It starts increasing a protein called PER and stress hormones earlier in the night. Your body gets a head start, so the waking process isn't cut short. It's so precise that your eyelids open minutes, sometimes even seconds, before the alarm goes off. Okay. Here's a little secret about me, someone says. My answer to the question, would you like a receipt, is based on absolutely nothing and changes all the time.
That's good.
That's good. Yeah, I'll take a receipt. No, I don't need one. Some people are receipt keepers while others aren't. Well, what am I going to do with a grocery receipt from last week? Claim it on my back and claim it back on taxes? I'm definitely a no receipt camp. I'm in the no receipt camp, but it's true. Sometimes a random urge does strike me and I find, what if just in case I need it? Somebody posts here, do you think by the year 2020 we'll stop thinking of 2007 as 3 years ago? time does fly, doesn't it? Yeah, it certainly does. And Let's see. So it's like, why do we get this collective feeling of the years going more slowly when than they actually do? Perhaps it's because we haven't embraced the style of the most recent decades yet. The 70s and 80s and 90s all had a definitive feel to them. The 2000s and 2010s haven't yet been defined in my head, so it still kind of feels the same. So, all right. We got some more texts here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312 says, when someone holds the door open for us or an elevator and we immediately break into a fast walk or a sprint. Yeah, I do that. Well, I just think that's kind of common courtesy. Let's see, 309 area code says, sitting on the toilet in the dark. What does that mean? That they do that?
I didn't get that either.
Okay. See, 815 area code says, my wife uses her snooze all the time. I think it's a wife thing. Oh, really? I think it's a wife thing? I work nights and I go to bed around 3 a.m. and she's up for work at 5 a.m. I can't stand the alarms going off constantly either. Yeah, it's nuts, man. If you are a non-snooze button person and you are married to a snooze button using person, it can be very aggravating. And I am living proof of that, that it can be very, very aggravating. 309 area code says, I need to have the light on while I'm sitting on the toilet. I'm always wondering what's going to jump up and grab me from a dark toilet. What? Where do you live? Australia? What? That's very weird. That's very weird. Oh, Vivian, I'm just going to, a little on here, a thing here. I'm going to need the current temps as well. So if you can just write them on this.
You got it.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to talk about more of these behavior things and then jump into some casting decisions that made fans angry. And the other casting decisions that we're talking about here or that we want to get into are, you know, movies that are based on other material like a book or a play or like a comic book or something, a cartoon or something in that regard. We want to talk about what are some of the best casting decisions that people have made. We want to hear from you on that. 312-981-7200. So this is the article that we're going to be the jump off point for this. We're going to talk about some of your favorite casting is 10 wonderful casting decisions that made fans unnecessarily angry. So these were casting decisions that people were, I guess, at first like, no, this is a terrible idea. This is going to be awful. And then they turn out to be good. So let's hear. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200. Fanish enthusiasm can be a wonderful thing, but sometimes it can go a bit too far. As when hardcore fans are absolutely convinced that they and only they know how to properly adapt their beloved franchise into a feature film. When someone is cast who doesn't fit their vision of a favorite character, things can get nasty. As these 10 casting backlashes prove, it's usually best to wait to see how someone does in that role before bringing out the pitchforks. So I can start this conversation off with someone that was cast in a movie, and I was furious when I heard about it, but for nothing because he was great. I was one of those people, like Anne Rice, the author of Interview with a Vampire, who was not at all happy with Tom Cruise being cast as Lestat. And this is, by the way, I happen to be a Tom Cruise fan, as anybody who regularly listens to the show knows that. When I first heard that he was cast as Lestat, I just was beside myself. I was like, no, this is the worst decision ever. And also, Anne Rice was with us on that too. So, all right. And we'll get to that in a second here. 312-981-7200. So yeah, I was really mad about it because most people you know, when they first discussed the idea of making Interview with a Vampire into a movie, when it was first suggested, it was a long time before they actually ended up making the movie, before Neil Jordan ended up directing it. So the obvious choice, if you've read the Lestat books, back in the day, Rutger Hauer would have been the choice. Rutger Hauer would have been the guy to play Vampire Lestat. There's no question about it. And when I heard Tom Cruise got cast, I was like, no, that's the worst casting decision ever. He's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. You know, and Anne Rice went out and said, I think it's a terrible idea to cast Tom Cruise as Lestat. And many, many, many faithful readers of the Anne Rice vampire novels were also very upset with the casting choice of Tom Cruise. And then the movie came out, and he was great. He was really, really great. And, like, shockingly good, to the point where I was like, wow. And now I was thrilled that he played the part, and it turned out to be a really great movie until the ending. I don't want to talk about the ending because it just makes me angry. Yeah, because I remember being so angry at the end of that movie, and I loved it up until the last like 3 minutes of the movie, and I truly loved it. I thought it was just, and I still think it's a great movie. But the first time I saw it, I hated the ending so much that my ex-wife had to say to me, hey, listen, remember, you know, the first 2 hours of this movie you loved. But the ending, I hated the ending so much. Have you seen Interview with a Vampire?
I have not, no.
Okay. The ending is so ridiculous.
Is
like,
it?
Oh my God. Like,
what
the
is
last,
it about?
The last 3 minutes is just so, it ends with like a wacky, like a car, he's driving the car down the, it has nothing to do with the ending of the book, nothing at all. And why they changed it and why they made it as stupid as it was, I still have no idea. But anyway, I was so angry about the ending that, you know, like I said, I had to be reminded that I liked the first full 2 hours of the movie a lot. So, and I've since seen it many times. I still hate the ending, but it's not as bad as, the ending is still terrible, but the rest of the movie is so great, it doesn't matter. And again, just to jump back to the topic that we're talking about, I was guilty of prejudging Tom Cruise before he was when he was cast as Lestat, and I was angry about it, I hated it, and then the movie was great, and he's great in the movie. And by the way, Anne Rice agreed. So, all right, let's see. We got the weather here. That's what's going on. Today, mostly cloudy. We got a high in the 50s and low tonight about 36. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 51. 32 will be a low. For Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 51, low of 33. For Friday, sunny, high of 54 and a low of 34. For Saturday, and we're looking at 57 for a high and a partly cloudy skies and a low of around 38. And for Sunday, partly cloudy, high of 59. And 45 will be a low. Currently, it's 33 degrees at the lakefront. Let's take a quick break here on 720 WGN. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about casting decisions that turned out to be great, even though people didn't like them at first, and some of your favorite casting decisions of all time, most appropriately cast show movies. 312-981-7200. That's all coming up after this. This song is used to great effect in Captain Marvel, so there you go. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're going to be talking about casting. What do you think? Who do you think was great casting that worked out great? And I also have some stories about casting decisions that people were really angry about until they actually saw the movie. And I just mentioned my personal one, which was Tom Cruise. I was really disappointed and upset when he was cast as Lestat, and then he ended up being great. So that's coming up. And also coming up, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Vic Vaughn, right here on WGN. Okay, let's see. Our first one is Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. People were very upset about Heath Ledger being being cast. Heath Ledger being cast as the Joker has become the litmus test for fans overreacting to a casting decision. Much of the backlash against Ledger stemmed from his roles in teen-centric comedies such as 10 Things I Hate About You. Geek Tyrant has a time capsule of Reddit reacting to the news. Heath Ledger has the charisma of a lettuce leaf, someone said. The Joker is a character that needs an actor with gravity, not some little twerp who got lucky. Someone said, probably the worst casting of all time. Someone said, let's reminisce about the days of A Knight's Tale and 10 Things I Hate About You. Heath, Joker, bad casting, bad joke. And they're all better choices, in my opinion, but what do I know? It's only been my life enjoying these comics. But the Academy really had the final say when they awarded Ledger a posthumous Oscar for his part. Yeah, people were like jumping on the bandwagon of anti-Heath Ledger, and then he turned out to be by far the best thing in that movie. And I think in a lot of people's opinion, the best Joker of any of anybody. And we get into another one here, Michael Keaton in Batman. Ledger wasn't the first Batman actor to suffer the rage of fanboys. When Michael Keaton was cast as the Caped Crusader back in the late 80s, fans sent physical complaint letters, because those were pre-internet days, to the studio. By one account, more than 50,000 of them. The primary complaints, Keaton was a comedian, and he wasn't physically intimidating enough. A 1998 article in the Toronto Star noted that Batman may turn out to be a wimp, as Keaton was no Sylvester Stallone. Director Tim Burton responded to the backlash, explaining that I met with a number of very good square-jawed actors, but the bottom line is I just couldn't see any of them putting on the bat suit. Then in 2015, Keaton reflected on the time comic book fans the world over hated his guts, saying that I heard about the outrage and I couldn't get it. I didn't understand why it was such a big deal. It made me feel bad that I was even in question. But Keaton was in good company. The Star article also mentioned that some fans disliked the casting of Jack Nicholson as the Joker, a pathologically evil Batman archenemy. Mr. Nicholson, it seems, is guilty of having a sense of humor. And then Michael Keaton turned out to be great. That turned out to be great, too. Jennifer Lawrence in The Hunger Games. The biggest complaint against Jennifer Lawrence being cast as the Hunger Games heroine Katniss Everdeen was she wasn't skinny enough. Because the character comes from the impoverished District 12, Katniss, some argued, must be stick thin. Her hair color was also a point of contention when some fans dismissed the Oscar-winning actress as a beach bunny blonde with chubby cheeks. Jeez, that's mean. Fanboys. In an interview with Teen Vogue, Lawrence said she understood the casting backlash. The cool thing about Katniss is that every fan has such a personal relationship with her, and they understand and know her in a singular way. I'm a massive fan, too, so I get it. Then the Hunger Games franchise went on to earn close to more than $3 billion globally. Here's the thing. Why the hell would anybody complain about what Jennifer Lawrence looks like? I mean, are you kidding me? She's beautiful. All right. 301 area code says, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. He's awesome. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I was talking earlier about Logan, which is one of my favorite. It is my favorite comic book movie. Someone likes Ben Affleck as Batman. Well, that makes one of you. 405 area code says, time to kill. Matthew McConaughey and Samuel Jackson were both perfect choices. Heck, I love the whole cast of that movie. Yeah, it's a great cast. McConaughey, that was kind of his breakout, you know, like big leading man breakout role. So... let's see. Here's Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nick. I'm just the opposite. I remember Marty was a TV drama during the golden age of television, and it starred Rod Steiger, who I thought was magnificent. When Ernest Borgnine got the role, and then the Oscar, I never forgave him. I always said he stole Rod Steiger's Oscar.
Well, I mean... You know, the casting people did their, you know, they cast Ernest Borgnine. It wasn't his fault. He got the part and he acted in it, you know?
I know, but not as well as Rod Steiger did.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Elizabeth, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. I thought Ernest Borgnine was great in Marty. I thought he was great. Rod Steiger, great actor as well, but I thought Ernest Borgnine was great. We got 312 area code says Daniel Craig is 007. Yeah, we've got that one here. In 2005, layered popped collars were in. Fox canceled Arrested Development, and people just could not handle the blonde guy being cast as the world's famous super spy. Daniel Craig's height and general appearance were also an issue. The site DanielCraigIsNotBond.com wondered how a short blonde actor with a rough face of a professional boxer and a penchant for playing killers, cranks, cads, and gigolos could pull off a role of a tall, dark, handsome, suave secret agent. An actor with his looks, the site suggested, should star instead in a Caddyshack prequel. Most of the world left the James Blonde hatred behind when Casino Royale came out with excellent reviews, but the website is still going strong. Earlier this month, it posted a story titled Daniel Craig, Worst Spy Ever. What is wrong with people? Daniel Craig is great as Bond. 219 area code sends in a text. We're talking about great casting that maybe you judged beforehand. Michael Keaton, 1989, Batman. After seeing it, I stood corrected. Sue said, yes. Huge Anne Rice fan, and at the end of Interview with a Vampire, it was like crafting a beautiful piece of art and then smashing it on the floor. I totally agree with you, Sue. I totally agree with you. I was so, so angry at the end of that movie, but I still love it, man. I just hate the ending. I hate that ending so much, but everything else they got right. They got everything else right about that movie. But I do agree with you, Sue. Man, oh, man. I couldn't stand Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury. His fake buck teeth and the buggy blue eyes ruined the whole thing. Freddie was great looking. Rami, not at all. Bad casting, period. Well, I've said enough about how much I hate Bohemian Rhapsody, because I hate it. It was the worst movie of last year. One of the most factually incorrect movies of all time. Spitting on the grave of Freddie Mercury, as far as I'm concerned. There's not one truth in it. But I thought he was good. I actually thought he was good. It's the only thing in the movie that didn't make me want to punch everybody. So, all right, we got some more casting that made people angry for no reason because it turned out to be good, and we want to talk about your favorite casting of all time at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk or text if you want to jump in with your favorite casting or casting that you prejudged and turned out to be great. So give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. More coming up after the news, which is up next.
All of us. Online.
WGN.
On demand. WGNradio.com.
On demand.
All right. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell coming up at 5 o'clock. And the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. WGN News Time is 4 o'clock. Let's get to the newsroom and Vic Vaughn.
Thanks, Nick. Good morning. It's mostly cloudy, 33 degrees at O'Hare. At Chicago City Hall Monday, 10 labor unions endorsed mayoral candidate Lori Lightfoot.
Local 241, gas workers, local 18007.
Iowa workers, local 1, City College's contingent labor organizing committee.
She faces Tony Preckwinkle in an April 2nd runoff election. The Illinois Federation of Teachers yesterday endorsed Preckwinkle. The police union in Chicago is calling for a federal investigation into Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox. Fox's handling of a case involving actor Jussie Smollett. He told police back in January that he'd been the victim of an attack. Investigators now believe that to be untrue. Prosecutors have since charged him with filing a false police report. But back when he was still considered a victim by police, 3 days after he filed that report, Fox reached out to Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson and asked him to hand over the case to the FBI. She made the request after text messages and emails from some of Smollett's family members and from one of his supporters, messages that expressed concern over leaks in the investigation. Fox later recused herself entirely from the case. There have been more than a half dozen home invasions in Chicago on its north side over the past month. It's a scam involving men posing as city workers to gain access to homes. Once inside, they take cash and jewelry. In all seven cases, the victims were elderly. Marty McCarthy lives next door to one of the homeowners who was targeted.
She's elderly. She's a very, very nice lady. And so, you know, she probably just really believed the story that it was somebody from the city. And she just wanted to do the right thing.
Chicago police described the suspects as male, Hispanic, age ranges between the mid-30s and mid-40s. A 23-year-old woman from Waukegan was killed in Miami on her way to the airport to catch flight back to Chicago. It happened Sunday. Friends of Mariah Michelle Logan, who were with her in the car when it happened, say she was hanging out a rear window shouting her goodbyes to Miami when she fell out of the car onto the highway. She was hit by a passing SUV. Miami police say they're still searching for the driver of that SUV. Striking workers will begin forming picket lines later this morning outside several buildings at the University of Illinois Chicago campus. Their 1,500 teaching assistants, as well as graduate assistants at UIC, they say they'll stop showing up for work indefinitely. This after failed contract talks. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather all next on WGN.
Hi, it's Wendy Snyder here. Are you currently taking a daily probiotic? Well, you should be, and not just any probiotic. Take the world's best. It's Natron's Healthy Trinity. My family and I take Natron's Healthy Trinity every morning. Here's the Natron difference. Decades ago, Natron was founded by Natasha Trenev, the mother of all probiotics. She's a 50-year veteran in the field of probiotics, and her company guarantees 100% potency for all their products. They meet the highest international standards for quality, safety, and manufacturing. And Natron's probiotics come with 30 years of focused, rigorous scientific research and technology from leading scientists and researchers in the field of probiotics. While the industry of probiotics has exploded, they're not all created equally. Natron's Healthy Trinity is serious probiotics for people who take their health seriously. Go to Natron.com or the probiotic cooler section at Whole Foods, Fruitful Yield, or your favorite health food store. That's N-A-T-R-E-N.com, Natron's Healthy Trinity. Others promise Natron delivers.
All the new TV shows are reboots of old shows.
Well, except for a certain show about a group of friends.
Gunsmoke?
Well, the Friends sofa is getting a reboot at Penny Mustard.
Updated with the hottest new fabric.
Button tufted back.
Curved arms with nail head trim.
And beautifully curved feet.
Plus, individual seat springs so you don't pivot into your seatmate.
It'll always be there for you.
The Friends sofa, starting at just $22.40 at Penny Mustard.
6 locations throughout Chicagoland.
PennyMustard.com.
WGN Sports, the Canucks beat the Blackhawks 3-2 in overtime. The Hawks are back on home ice Thursday against the Flyers, 10 games remaining in the season. Giants beat the White Sox 5-2 in Cactus League Baseball. Sox play the Reds today. The Cubs were off yesterday. They'll play the Mariners this afternoon. Bulls beat the Suns 116-101 in Phoenix. NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament starts tonight. Four teams get it all started in Dayton, Ohio. First Prairie View takes on Fairleigh Dickinson, then Temple and Belmont. WGN Traffic, your expressways and tollways are looking good this morning. No delays. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Scattered clouds this morning. We're right around 30 degrees most of the areas. Some in the upper 20s in the outlying areas. Partly sunny today, though. High of 50 degrees this afternoon. Tonight we'll cloud back over. Could see a few evening sprinkles. We'll drop into the upper 30s during the pre-dawn hours of Wednesday. And we could see some more sprinkles early Wednesday morning, but those will clear out for sunshine with a few clouds Wednesday. Highs near 50 again. Right now it's mostly cloudy at O'Hare, 33 degrees at the airport. It's 36 downtown at the lakefront. I'm Vic Vaughn in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street.
All right. Be a big man someday. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we've been talking about casting as a really fun, interesting article about some casting decisions that actually made fans unnecessarily angry. And that's at mentalfloss.com. We're here till 5. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to talk about some of your casting, your favorite casting or casting decisions that made you angry and then turned out to be good. We talked about anger over Heath Ledger being nominated for the Dark, or for being cast for the Dark Knight, and then he ended up blowing it out of the water. Michael Keaton was not liked for Batman in 1989, and then he ended up being great. Jennifer Lawrence in The Hunger Games also was complained about, and then she ended up being terrific. And then Daniel Craig also criticized for being cast as 007 in Casino Royale. And, of course, we all know how that turned out. He turned out to be one of the best James Bonds ever. So now we're talking about that. And what are some of your favorite castings, you know, some of the best casting that you can think of? You know, it's the whole idea of taking a franchise or taking a book or a comic book or something, a play that's based on something else, and then casting it. What were some of the best casting decisions ever? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Let's see. Here's Barbara on WGN. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I think the best thing they did was for Helen Mirren for the Queen. I mean, I really thought I was looking at her.
Well, Helen Mirren is a tremendous actress.
Oh, God, she was great.
Yeah. Yep.
Just they couldn't cast it anybody more perfect than her.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, that's Helen Mirren. She's played the Queen like 900 times now. She's played different queens. She's played the Queen like 95 times in movies, which, of course, makes sense. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200, some of your favorite casting. Here's one. Everybody complained about Anne Hathaway in The Dark Knight Rises. You'd think that Bat fans would have learned their lesson by now, but no such luck. Fans were skeptical when the squeaky clean Anne Hathaway was cast as Catwoman Selina Kyle in The Dark Knight Rises. And it only got worse when the first picture of her costume leaked. The word underwhelming was used a lot. Speaking with MTV, Hathaway responded to the criticism and warned the internet at large about rushing to judgment based on a single promo pic. What I'm happy to say is, if you don't like the photo, you only see about a tenth of what the suit can do. And if you like the photo, you have excellent taste. I like Anne Hathaway. That movie was bad, though. But, you know, I like Anne Hathaway. I don't know. Well, first of all, she's not very squeaky clean, you know? You ever see a movie called Havoc? It was pretty early on. She's not very squeaky clean. Brokeback Mountain, she was not very squeaky clean in that.
Yeah.
She was in Love and Other Drugs.
Did you like that movie?
Love and Other Drugs?
Yeah.
Not really.
No?
No.
I thought she did a good job.
No, she's good. I think Anne Hathaway is great. But it's not like she squeaked. She's been naked in like seven movies and pranced around naked and not squeaky clean, especially this movie Havoc. Because it's like teenagers out of control, naked, having sex, doing drugs. I mean, that's what the movie's about. And that's Anne Hathaway. So I don't understand, but I like Anne Hathaway, and she was fine in the Dark Knight Rises. The thing is, it's really funny how many of these complaints are about Batman movies. I guess that's the most complaints that any movies generate are from Batman or comic book movies in general. I think comic book movies in general get the most complaints, but as far as I'm concerned, the best Catwoman of all time is Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns. She's the best Catwoman. She's the best Catwoman in history.
I agree.
And I love that movie. I love Batman Returns. Batman Returns is my favorite Batman movie of any of the Batman movies. Michael Keaton, again, great in it. Christopher Walken, great. Danny DeVito is the Penguin. Outstanding. And I can't say enough about Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Pfeiffer is phenomenal in Batman Returns. And I personally think she should have been nominated for an Academy Award for that. I really do. So, anyway. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you guys would like to join us, we would love to hear from you. And you can call us up or text us right now. We're talking about casting. So, Anne Hathaway, they complained about Anne Hathaway. And she turned out to be fine. All right, how about this? Robert Pattinson in Twilight. Given how the Twilight saga launched Robert Pattinson to the heights of teen throbbery, heartthrobbery, it can be easy to forget that when he was cast, the majority of fans were not pleased. His only major movie before had been Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, where he played Cedric Diggory, whose clean-cut good boy image was a far cry from the brooding sexiness that fans wanted from Edward Cullen. French actor Gaspard Ulliel was a fan favorite choice for the role, a fact referenced by author Stephanie Meyer in a blog post where she named future Superman Henry Cavill as her preferred actor for the part. Pattinson would later describe the fan reaction as unanimous unhappiness, he said to MTV. He told the Evening Standard that he, quote, got bags of letters from angry fans telling me that I couldn't possibly pay play Edward because I'm Diggory. To Entertainment Weekly, he noted, I stopped reading blogs after I saw the signature saying, please, anyone else. So, you know what's really amazing about the two leads in the Twilight movies? Do you ever see the Twilight? Ever seen any of the Twilight movies?
Yes, I have.
Are you a fan of the books?
I have not read the books.
Okay.
No.
I think the movies are bad, and I don't think Kristen Stewart's very good in it, and I don't think Robert Pattinson's very good in it. But what they've done since then with their career, I would have never have guessed it. Kristen Stewart's one of my favorite actresses on the planet now.
Yeah.
She keeps making really interesting, risky movies, and so does Robert Pattinson. And I never would have guessed that 10 years ago when these movies were coming out, because they were so bland. It's just they were so bland and like not very good in the movies. And if somebody were to tell me that, hey, Nick, you know, in about 8-9 years, you're going to think Kristen Stewart is one of the most adventurous and challenging and best actresses on the planet, and I would have said, shut up. And then they would go on to say, and Robert Pattinson is also great. I would go, shut up. But they're great. So I'm not crazy about the movies. But, God, that last one. Did you see the last one?
I did.
I don't follow any of it, you know, and I saw them only because I had to review them, you know. But that last one was ridiculous because there's like a... an extended like battle scene where people's
like a war. Yeah.
Heads are getting cut off,
yeah,
and blood's flying.
It was really graphic.
And then it wasn't real.
Yeah,
it wasn't real. Like it was a fan. It was like a dream sequence,
yeah,
or something.
It was.
And
it
I remember
was.
Sitting in the theater going, "What the hell?" And people started booing in the theater. But while that war was happening, I was like, "Well, finally," because I find those movies to be really boring and uninteresting. Like, I don't care. I'm not Team Wolfman or Team Vampire Man.
It goes back to, you know, Game of Thrones for me.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I just wasn't interested. But I thought that battle scene was pretty awesome because they pulled out all the stops. You know, Michael Sheen's getting his head cut off. There's blood flying all over the place.
Of course you'd like that.
I was like, that's cool. And then when it turned out to be it wasn't real, it was imagined, I was like, what? Ridiculous. Let's see. Here's Roosevelt on WGN. Hi, Roosevelt.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Long time. You know that.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire, my mind is stuck on him. There's nobody, I don't think, that unless you can come up with somebody else that could fit his shoes, but I'm stuck on Tobey Maguire. Anybody after him doesn't rank as a Spider-Man to me.
Well, I think the latest one, I think Tom Holland is really good. I think he's really good. What's his name? Andrew Garfield was terrible.
Yeah.
Was awful. But this new kid, this kid that's in the Avengers, I think he's good. I think he's really well cast.
Yeah. But you know what it is, Nick? I think the popularity of the first two movies, and maybe that has something to do with it, the fact that he left an impression on us on the first two, especially the number two, Spider-Man 2, I think he did a fantastic job, and maybe that's why I'm stuck. My kids love all those movies. I got five boys, so they're all into those movies.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, though. You know, you're talking about the first two Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire. It's funny that you're not mentioning the third one, which everybody hates.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. There's a reason for it, Nick. And I agree with you with 007. Casino Royale is one of the best ones.
Great.
Now, as far as the old 007, Sean Connery, I mean, when they put all those other guys, including the guy that played the Saint, what's the guy's name?
Roger Moore.
I mean, the Roger Moore movie, or movies, I don't know how many he did, but they made him into a comedian almost. Everything was comedy to me. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Roosevelt. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah, see, Roger Moore was the... was the bond of my childhood and teen years. So I have a special attachment to the Roger Moore movies, even though I don't think he's the best. I think Sean Connery's the best Bond, and then Daniel Craig. And George Lazenby, he was only in one Bond movie, which might be the best Bond movie of all time, Honor Majesty's Secret Service. Many consider that to be the best Bond movie of all time. And it's George Lazenby, the only time he ever played. All right. What do you guys think? Casting. Who do you think are some of the best casting decisions? How about casting decisions that made you upset? And then they turned out to be great. We still got a few more stories of that coming up. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Okay, here's your weather for today. Mostly cloudy. We'll be in a high near 50, 36 degrees for a low. For tomorrow, again, mostly cloudy, high of 51, a low of 32. Thursday, partly cloudy, high 51, low of 33. For Friday, sunny, high 54, low of 34. For Saturday, partly cloudy, high of 57, low of 38. For Sunday, partly cloudy, high of 59, low of 45. And for Monday, showers, high of 55, low of 43. It is currently at the lakefront, 33 degrees right here on 720 WGN. Let's take a break. More casting decisions that you can comment on at 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, and we're here live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are here until 5 a.m., and we would love to hear from you. We are talking about some wonderful casting decisions that turned out to be good, even though people complained about them. So that's what we're talking about, and we want to hear from you right now. So 312-981-7200 is the number. All right, let's see. Here is John on WGN. John, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, you were talking about Tobey Maguire in the Spider-Man movies. He was great in the first two, but I swear in Spider-Man 3D, both him and Kirsten Dunst looked about 40 years old, and that was a horrible movie on all counts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what most people think. Most people think that that Spider-Man 3 was pretty bad. The only thing I liked that I liked a lot about Spider-Man 3 was I liked the creation of the Sandman, and I liked the Sandman character. That was my favorite thing about the movie.
Okay, and then I don't know what the heck Topher Grace was doing in there.
No,
he's not my idea of anyone's supervillain.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think anybody is ever gonna do Venom justice. Because it was terrible in that movie, and the Venom movie with Tom Hardy was unwatchable. So I don't know what's going on with that character, but they've ruined that one. So,
okay, thanks.
All right, John, take care. Yeah, Spider-Man. Uh, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right. And let's get, we got more texts here. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, what's this? We've got John Lithgow. How about John Lithgow as John Worfen in Buckaroo Banzai? Well, I mean, that movie rules Buckaroo Banzai. And I think when it first came out, people didn't know what the hell to make of it. Buckaroo Banzai. People were like, what is this? And I was one of them, but I loved it. And now it's become like this cult classic. People love that movie. But, yeah. So, hey, Nick, enjoy. My favorite casting is Meryl Streep as Julia Child in Julie and Julia. She nailed it. Enjoying the show. That's from Susan. Yeah, Meryl Streep was good. Well, Meryl Streep is Meryl Streep. I mean, you know, you're going to get a good performance. You're pretty much almost guaranteed a really great performance anytime you put Meryl Streep into a movie. Jay in Waukegan says, Robert Downey Jr. is perfect for Iron Man. It's almost like his own personality. Yeah, he is great in those movies. He's great as Iron Man. That first Iron Man really was a game changer. It really was. I may be showing my age, 815 area code says, but if you remember his early movies prior to 1978, Christopher Reeve was a stretch for Superman. Well, nobody really knew who Christopher Reeve was before Superman. And he was great as Superman. He was terrific. 404 area code says, I think pretty much every comic character is going to get grief from the diehards, but it's up to the actor to prove them wrong. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman is another. Yeah, well, she was great. She was really, really great as Wonder Woman. Great casting would be 847 area code says Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird. To Kill a Mockingbird, by the way, is going to be in movie theaters. I think it's two nights only as part of the Fathom events, because the Fathom company, they do these events where they bring back movies. And so they're bringing back To Kill a Mockingbird. It's going to be on the big screen. I think it's two or three times. Kurt Russell in The Christmas Chronicles is one of the best roles I think he's ever had. That's Space Brian W. says. Kurt Russell in The Christmas Chronicles playing Santa. I mean, come on, man. Kurt Russell is Santa Claus? What's not to love? That was a really entertaining movie. Did you see it?
I did see it.
Very entertaining.
That was really good.
And I love Kurt Russell, man. Kurt Russell's one of my favorites, you know?
Sure.
I mean, he's played so many classic characters, Snake Plissken, Jack Burton, Captain Ron.
Yeah, that's right.
He was so good in Miracle. He was great in Hateful Eight.
He's a great actor.
I love Kurt Russell. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. Okay, we have more from this article about people complaining before they actually saw the movie about the casting. Keira Knightley. People complained about Keira Knightley in Pride and Prejudice. Joe Wright's 2005 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice was ill-fated from the very start, as star Keira Knightley committed the great sin of not being Jennifer L., who played the role Elizabeth Bennet in the beloved 1995 BBC miniseries. When BBC News asked readers about the movie back in 2004, there was a fair amount of general hand-wringing about how dare you remake a classic. Some mega fans of the 95 version, though, flipped their pretty beribboned bonnets about Knightley specifically. The disaster is the casting of Keira Bones Knightley as Elizabeth. Wow. And one anonymous commenter from Pasadena, California, others chimed in. This other actor, Matthew McFadden, seems too young for the role, and Keira too beautiful and thin for playing Lizzie, too. Knightley is too pinched and one-dimensional and not solid enough. Keira Knightley is too attractive and rather bad at acting. Keira Knightley should never be Elizabeth Bennet. She is not that type of actress. The Academy disagreed, granting Knightley one of her four Oscar nominations, but the vitriol was nothing compared to the fan reaction to Matthew McFadden in Pride and Prejudice. Again, from the BBC, there is only one Mr. Darcy, and that is Colin Firth. Firth is the only Mr. Darcy. No one compares to Firth. Colin Firth is the definitive Mr. Darcy, never to be matched, and at least not in many a year. Matthew McFadden is not a bad-looking chappy, but he's not Colin Firth and cannot possibly live up to the expectations of my comrades have. The nastiest comment came, you must have someone dashingly handsome as Darcy. Try Rupert Everett, Hugh Jackman, or someone that's tall, arrogant, but handsome. McFadden doesn't have a masculine enough jaw. I suspect he'll need a seriously good wig to make up for his rather thin, receding, floppy hairline. My God. Not that it wouldn't be amazing to see a version of Pride and Prejudice with a masculine-jawed Jackman or as Darcy. It would be even better if he played the character as Wolverine. So now the fans are demanding a Wolverine version of Darcy. Somehow McFadden's turn as the darkly handsome but socially paralyzed Darcy pleased critics and audiences alike, despite not being Colin Firth emerging wet from a lake. Yeah, I remember all of that. I remember all of that hullabaloo. That 2005 version of Pride and Prejudice is really great, and Keira Knightley's terrific in it. So, all right, here's Stephen on WGN. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Originally, Frank Sinatra was supposed to play Dirty Harry.
Yep.
But he sprained his wrist, and they gave it to Clint, which is the best thing they could have done, of course.
Yep. Yep. Frank Sinatra was very angry about not being able to play the role, so he did like three or four hard guy detective movies just to make up for it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, because he was very disappointed that he didn't get the part, but that's absolutely true. It was supposed to be Frank Sinatra at first. So, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Can you imagine Frank Sinatra's Dirty Harry? Ay, ay, ay. Boy, some of the weird casting people had come up with. But yeah, it was originally supposed to be Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra playing Dirty Harry. I would not be able to picture that. Well, mainly because, you know, there are some parts now that are so iconic to the actors that you can't picture anybody else playing. You can't picture anybody else but Clint Eastwood playing Dirty Harry. You can't do that, you know? That's like, can you picture somebody else playing Indiana Jones?
No.
Of course not.
Nope.
No way. I mean, those are just like iconic roles that nobody else could play. So, Michael Corleone, anybody but Al Pacino? No. Uh-uh.
I've always thought that Jeff Bridges would have pulled off a good Indiana Jones.
Well, Jeff Bridges
in the character of the dude from
as the dude. So he's laid back Indiana Jones. He's high Indiana Jones if on pot. Well, you know, you're mentioning Jeff Bridges, who happens to be my favorite actor of all time.
Yes, I am.
You know that. You know he's my favorite actor of all time.
Of course, yes.
Love that guy. So, all right, let's take a quick break. Now, and again, that you just mentioned that, you know, you can't picture anybody but the dude as Jeff Bridges. You can't picture anybody but Jeff Bridges as the dude.
Perfect example, no.
I mean, you can't.
No.
Come on.
It'd be fun to talk about it and see who would have done a good job. There's probably a few actors.
I'm sure.
Matthew McConaughey, you think he would have been kind of funny?
McConaughey is in this new movie called Beach Bum, in which he plays like a version of kind of the dude.
Really?
Where he's like really high, he's got long hair.
Yeah.
So not much different than his real life, except he doesn't have long hair, but he does enjoy bongos and getting high. So... All right, we got a break here. The news is coming up right after this, and then we'll talk more about the casting decisions that you like or hate. 312-981-7200. We also have a Blackhawks Express to play from last night's game. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5, as I am every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we are here, and our phone number and text number, if you want to participate, is 312-981-7200. And we are talking about casting decisions that made fans angry, and then they turned out to be great. And we are also talking about some of your favorite casting of all time, actors and actresses being cast in something that turned out to be really, really good. So we want to hear from you. Talk or text at 312-981-7200. Let's see. 815 area code says, I was fairly surprised with Johnny Depp's performance as Hunter S. Thompson and Benicio del Toro's performance as Dr. Gonzo in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Hunter was a character and wasn't sure he would be able to pull it off. Johnny Depp, they're both terrific in that movie. Johnny Depp spent a significant amount of time hanging out with Hunter Thompson. You know, they went and blew stuff up in the desert and they shot guns and they drank wild turkey and all kinds of, took mescaline and all that stuff that Hunter Thompson is known for doing. I thought Johnny Depp was terrific in the movie. I just thought the movie was, as much as Terry Gilliam tried, I think what we learned about the film version of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is that Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is pretty much an impossible book to turn into a movie. I think that's what we learned from that, because I think that's about as best as you could possibly do to try and translate Thompson's book to a movie. So Donna says, Adam Driver as the villain Kylo Ren, he did comedy and I think he's great. Yeah, I think Adam Driver is terrific as Kylo Ren in the Star Wars movies. I think he's great. 773 area code, Morgan Freeman in Dreamcatcher as the Army General, and I've read the book four or five times. That's funny that Dreamcatcher has come up now twice this week. I don't know how they had, no, I have no idea how the movie Dreamcatcher can come up 2 days in a row on the show. I've never read the book. I like the movie, though. I thought the movie was great. 816 area code says, great casting. How about Crispin Glover in River's Edge? He's fantastic. He's fantastic in that movie. Everybody's good in that movie. Everybody's good in River's Edge. Keanu is fantastic in River's Edge. And I love the whole cast of Boogie Nights, especially Wahlberg, John C. Reilly, but also Burt, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Heather Graham, Bill Macy, Ricky Jay, Don Cheadle, and Julianne Moore. Yeah, Boogie Nights is an incredible cast put together by the great Paul Thomas Anderson, who I think happens to be the best filmmaker working today. And his follow up is my favorite movie of all time, which is Magnolia. And everybody in Magnolia is incredible. Every single person in Magnolia, which includes Ricky Jay and William Macy and Philip Seymour Hoffman and John C. Reilly and Julianne Moore. He likes to work with a lot of the same people over and over again because they're always good. Magnolia is one of the best casts in the history of movies. One of the best casts in the history of movies. Another vote for Gregory Peck is Atticus Finch. 815 area code, 773 area code says, I didn't like Tom Hanks' cast in The Da Vinci Code. He was terrible. Robert Langdon should have been someone like Jude Law. I have not read the books. Wasn't crazy about the movies. So, boy, that last one was stupid. I can't even remember the name of the last Da Vinci Code movie. Was so stupid. Because there was the first one was The Da Vinci Code, and I don't even remember the other two. But that last one was one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen. I don't even remember what the hell it's called, and it was just unbelievable. Let's see. Here's Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what about John Travolta in Swordfish?
In Swordfish?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
That's like where he's like a villain.
Yeah, no, I know the movie. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, normally he's a good guy, and him playing a villain was pretty good.
Yeah, okay. All right, Jeff. Jeff sounds like he's in a wind tunnel, but thank you for calling in. John Travolta in Swordfish. You know, I saw, for some reason, somebody posted the poster for Swordfish on their, like, Facebook page or on social media, and I totally forgot Hugh Jackman was in that movie. I totally forgot. He looks like he's 15. Like in the poster for the movie, I was like, oh my God, that's Hugh Jackman. Cause I hated him. I only saw it the one time, but you know what the big deal about that movie was?
What was it?
It was Halle Berry's first topless scene.
Oh my gosh.
That's what got people to see the movie. That's what, because she didn't do any nudity up until that point. And then, like, oh my God, it's the first topless scene for Halle Berry. So, of course, people, you know,
so, yeah, it was
all the perverts went to see it right away. But I'd forgotten it. And Hugh Jackman was in it. I totally forgot. And again, he looks like he's five. He looks like a kid. Here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right.
Hey, just, I know you guys are talking about movies, but, the TV show Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
The original guy that was supposed to be Matt Dillon was Raymond Burr, Perry Mason.
Yeah. Yeah, Raymond Burr.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he wasn't as physically big back then as he got. Raymond Burr.
Right,
you know, Raymond Burr, like, he was a little bit more svelte back in those days. Like, if you watch Rear Window, he's not as big and crazy as he was in those TV shows that he was in. Another one that people complained about, Vivian Leigh in Gone with the Wind. Even in pre-internet times, fans would get demanding about the casting of their favorite characters. With Vivian Leigh in Gone with the Wind, the problem was that she was a British actor playing the world's most famous Southern belle. Producer David O. Selznick tried to downplay Lee's nationality in the official casting announcement, instead saying that she was educated in Europe and did some, quote, recent screen work in England. Outraged fans wrote letters to newspapers that slammed Lee's casting as an insult to Southern womanhood and a direct affront to the men who wore the gray, and an outrage to the memory of the heroes of 1776 who fought to free this land from British domination. And it turned out to be, of course, a classic. And then finally, Renee Zellweger in Bridget Jones' Diary. Call it a reverse, Scarlett O'Hara. Instead of being angry that a British actor was playing a Southern character, Bridget Jones fans could not imagine Texas-born Renee Zellweger playing Bridget Jones, who is basically a modern-day version of Pride and Prejudice's Elizabeth Bennet. The criticism has been hurtful, noted Renee Zellweger in 2000. Not the bit about the fact that I'm American playing the part. I can understand that, but the extremes of which it's taken, they'll slip something else in there like nobody's even heard of her before. What has she ever done? Co-star Hugh Grant came to Zellweger's defense, telling Entertainment Weekly she's very funny and she's been living in England a long time now, mastering the accent. It'll be a triumph. I know it will. And then it became a classic. All right, here's Tony on WGN. Hi, Tony.
Yo, Nick, what's going on, man?
Hey.
Hey, I got one for you, man. I loved it, but I know a whole lot of people disliked him, man. When Timothy Dalton took over as James Bond, I loved him, man, when he took that role over.
Yeah, Timothy Dalton did a good job, man. He gets a bum rap. His movies were actually pretty dark. Like the Timothy Dalton movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He brought some edge to it. Coming from Roger Moore to him, it brought edge back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I thought Timothy Dalton did a good job. I really do. Yeah. I agree with you. All right, Tony.
All right, Nick, you take care, man.
You too, buddy. All right. Let's take a break here for some weather, and then we've got a Blackhawks Express to play back, and then we'll wrap up the show and talk just a little bit more. If you want to jump in, talk or text 312-981-7200. Your favorite casting or surprising casting that you thought was going to be bad and turned out to be great. All right, here is your weather for today. Mostly cloudy, high of 50, and a low down tonight about 36. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 51 in the day. At night, 32 will be the low. For Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 51, and a low on Thursday night of 33. For Friday, sunny, high of 54, low of 34. Saturday, partly cloudy during the day and a high of 57, low of 38 at night. And for Sunday, high of 59 and a low of 45. And then for Monday, back to work, we got some showers during the day, a high of 55, and at night we'll get down to 43 for a low. It's currently 33 degrees at the lakefront. Let's take a quick break here on WGN. And when we come back, we'll go straight to the Blackhawks Express from last night's game.
The Chicago Blackhawks have now won 5 in a row and have put themselves in position so that with a 6th straight win, they can cut their playoff points gap down to 3. With 11 games left in the regular season, the Hawks have already kicked it into playoff mode. They need to keep it rolling tonight against Vancouver, a team the Hawks can put into a real tough spot. Well, down to center ice we go. Bo Horvat against Jonathan Toews on the opening faceoff. The drop of the puck burned away. Horvat on a breakaway over the Hawk line down the slot. He shoots and Crawford down with a butterfly save. And he'll glove the puck and hold it. Crawford just saved the Hawks bacon again right there. Down in there by Stetcher, but right to Kane, right point. Kane to Toews with the slot, redirects, he scores! The captain cashes in, and Patrick Kane picks up point number 100. A power play goal for the Hawks, and they lead Vancouver 1-0. Here's a shot, they score! From the line, it's Edler with a long wrist shot. That was tipped past Crawford. Took the Canucks all of 4 seconds to score on the power play, and they tied it at 1. Spun it over the center ice circle, picked off by the Canucks. Into the Hawks zone. Here's Besser to the slot with some room. He fires Crawford to save the rebound. They score. And it's Marcus Granlund coming down the far side, taking that rebound and slapping it in behind Crawford. And the Canucks lead for the first time at 2-1. Horvat grabs the puck, turns around and fires. Crawford makes the save with the body. Erickson follows up with a backhand shot, and Crawford sails across the crease to the near side and stops out with a glove and holds on. Toews wins it to Kane left circle to Keith, deep slot to Gustafson. He fires, he scores! Gustafson with number 14 on the season. It was a knuckleball kind of a shot that eludes Demko. Up with 3:13 left in the third. We're tied at 2. And now Horvat chips it to
center ice to Brinkett's got it with 10. The slip to Eric Gustafson, crossing the Canuck line along the right wing, and he'll spin it down in behind the net. Fetcher drives it around. Keith put it to the left wing corner to Taves, who pumps the puck down in behind the Canuck net. And for the second time in as many meetings here at the United Center, the Hawks and the Canucks are going over. Ebler over the center ice circle. Dates by Taves over the Hawk line, right wing side to Horvat, high slot. Ebler to Horvat in front, he shoots and scores! Took the Canucks 16 seconds of overtime, and they pick up the extra point. And Troy called it. It's Bo Horvat scoring 16 seconds into overtime, and the Canucks win it 3-2.
All right. Yeah. So they at least they got a point. They could have used two, but at least they got a point. So anyway, we always play the Blackhawks Express the morning after the games. And yeah. So coming up, the next game is Thursday night at 7:30. Puck drop is at 7:30, and they're playing the Flyers. So Philadelphia Flyers. And then a big weekend for the Hawks, too. They're still in it. You know, it's going to be all the way down to the wire. It's too bad that they didn't actually win the game last night and get the 2 points, but they did get 1 point at least. So anyway, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We are talking about casting in movies that turned out to be great, even though a lot of people didn't like it, or your favorite bit of casting of all time. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell, and coming up, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Vic Vaughn. All right, we got some phone calls. Here's Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Nick, I just wanted to mention Don Cheadle in Devil in a Blue Dress as like the psycho buddy of Easy Rollins.
Yeah, he was great.
Wasn't he?
Oh, I mean, he was great.
He embodied that part. I mean, I never forgot it.
Yeah. He's great. Have you been watching Black Monday on Showtime?
We don't have Showtime. Oh. We have Stars and HBO. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because Don Cheadle's in this show called Black Monday on Showtime, and it's great. Really, really great.
Yeah, I just really like the guy.
Yeah, he's great. Terrific actor. Yeah, and Devil in a Blue Dress, he was fantastic. No question about it. All right, Dave, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. 301 area code says William Powell and Myrna Loy in the Thin Man movies. Perfect casting. The thing about the Thin Man movies, when you go back and watch them, because they're great, they're classic. The Thin Man movies are classic. But you go back and you watch those movies, and you know, when I was younger when I watched them, I didn't really notice this. But, man, they booze it up in those movies. I mean, they're bombed. I mean, the amount of drinking that they do in the Thin Man movies is astonishing. I mean, it's like, wow. And I never noticed it until, you know, years later. I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, oh, man, there's a lot of drinking going on in these movies. Good Lord. 301 area code says Tom Cruise as Jack Reacher, not the best casting decision. A lot of people were really mad about that because the character of Jack Reacher is like 6'4", and Tom Cruise is like 5'6" or something. Yeah. 312 area code says, why did they switch Darren's on Bewitched? I'm still in therapy. Dick York, who played the first Darren, was physically hurt. Like he had done some really terrible things to his back and he couldn't do the show anymore. So they had to get rid of him and they got Dick Sargent. Now I'm a Dick York guy, not a Dick Sargent guy. I like Dick York as more as Darren than Dick Sargent. Let's see. 815 area code, Gary Berghoff was perfect as Radar O'Reilly. And if I'm not mistaken, the only person from the movie version of MASH who ended up in the TV version of MASH. 312 area code says, Tom Selleck was supposed to play Indiana Jones. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Which explains why years after, you know, he didn't get the part. He made a stupid movie called High Road to China, which was a flat-out Indiana Jones ripoff. So it was like his attempt to go, hey, look what I would have done if I'd play Indiana Jones. Let's see. 815 area code says, Andrew Dice Clay, best supporting actor, Star is Born. Andrew Dice Clay was great in A Star Is Born. He was terrific in it. He really was. And he was also great in Vinyl. He was also great in Blue Jasmine. Andrew Dice Clay, man, is actually not bad. I mean, he's a good actor. I think Andrew Dice Clay is actually a good actor. And he's proven it. Like, he's doing dramatic stuff, too. And I really liked him in A Star Is Born. Hey, you know how we were talking earlier, Vivian, about things that everybody else loves and that you don't?
Yeah.
Until A Star Is Born,
uh-huh.
I hated Lady Gaga.
What?
Hated her.
Really?
Yeah. And I still don't like her music. I think she's great in A Star Is Born, and I like the music in A Star Is Born. But, like, her other stuff, wearing meat suits and...
yeah, that was weird
I was born
phase.
This way. I was born this way, which is essentially a total ripoff of Express Yourself by Madonna, but let's not get into that. I happen to adore Madonna, so... But, yeah, I was way in the minority on the Lady Gaga thing, but she won me over in A Star Is Born. I thought she was great.
I'll pass the message.
I thought you could. Are you going to call Lady
Gaga?
Yeah,
I'm going to call her.
Did you see Star Is Born?
I did. I loved it.
She's great at it, man. And Bradley Cooper, where did that come from?
I know.
Where did he? When did the singing and the guitar playing and the directing? What the hell is going on?
I don't know. He's a gem.
He is. He's great.
I'm going to tell him too.
He's great. Yeah, let them know.
Will you? Okay.
No, she totally won me over. She totally won me over. And during award season, I thought she was beautiful and charming.
Yeah.
And I never ever liked her up until then.
It's never too late.
Okay. We'll see with her next album. Alan Rickman as Hans Friggin Gruber, one of the greatest villains of all time in the history of villain. And by the way, Insane, that was his first movie. That was Alan Rickman's for Die Hard was Alan Rickman's first.
No way.
Yeah. So right out of the gate, he played one of the most iconic characters of all time. Then he'd go on to play Snipe, too.
Huh.
Loved him. Peter Falk as Lieutenant Columbo was originally offered to Bing Crosby. Whoa! All right. That's weird. All right. We'll take a break here. We're coming back tomorrow for another show, and we'll tell you a little bit about it right after this. All right. We're back on Wednesday, and we've got a whole bunch of really cool topics to talk about, and Vivian's going to be producing. Great job. Fun working with you.
Thanks. It was fun.
We'll do it again tomorrow all the way through Friday.
Absolutely.
Nice job. That was fun.
Thanks.
All right. Everybody stay tuned because the news is coming up next, followed by the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. So we'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday morning. Make sure you please tune in starting at 1 a.m.